Okay, there we go. Also, just a reminder about the naming. If you have your name on your, if you look at your name, like my name says Tech Help Dash Brad L, if your name is coming first, that's not how we're doing it here today. So what you should do is put your WSO number first. You can look at your WSO number on the website. If you have trouble finding your WSO number, you're welcome to reach out to myself, Margin, or Mary Jo. Next, one of the things we have, most people here have been in a Zoom before, but one of the things we had here to try to make it a little bit easier is the raise hand function is broken out on its own icon. If you have a smaller screen or your screen is lower resolution, this may be hidden behind the more or three dots. A couple other things that may be new for you in the Zoom today is that we have captions that can be translated. So if you go to the captions, you'll see some translation type of functions there. You can end up doing changing your speaking language if you want your captions in a different language. The captions are going right now, and you should be able to change it to your other language. Chat can be go ahead and be saved. It used to be at the bottom of the bar, maybe about a year or more ago. Now it's at the top of the bar. You can see it. When I say the top of the bar, the white sidebar that comes up when you do that, there'll be three dots, and you can j do it to save your chat. Election Buddy. Election Buddy is the tool that we use for voting. There may not be a need for Election Buddy today. Consequently, we are not going to do the Election Buddy demo right now. If there is a need for Election Buddy, meaning that we'll do worldwide online voting where every delegate gets to participate after the meeting, we will do it later in the meeting. We're just going to save that time right now and give it back to the conference because it's likely not going to be needed. Mary Jo, is there anything that I missed or anything you want to say about the naming conventions?
No, I think we're good. Thank you. I will be contacting people individually to rename themselves if I can't figure out who they are. And there are a few people on the phone. If you're able to rename yourself, that would be great. Otherwise, if you can text me and let me know who you are, I can rename you.
Also, I want to introduce Mark Marchin, the IT administrator. He is here. Marchin, is there anything that you'd like to add?
No, I think you covered everything. Hi.
Wonderful. Thanks. Back to the chairs.
Thank you, Brad. Could we establish quorum now?
Sure. If you are a delegate, go ahead and raise your hand. Digital hand. Raise your di di digital hand. If you are not a delegate, please don't raise your hand. We'll just take a moment. Okay, make sure you're raising your hand and not doing an emoji. Okay, I am seeing a quorum of 63, 64, 63. We'll call it 63.
Thank you, Brad. And now I'd like to turn it over to Sue V for the board presentation.
Thank you, William. And again, I'm Sue V, Chair of the Board. We're going to do a board update in this section. We apologize that the materials weren't available sooner, just capacity issues. We're going to review that and be better. So I'm going to start with the first PowerPoint. We're going to do two, and then we're going to open it up for questions and answers. Tamara, can you please share?
Yes, board update, correct.
Yep, the board update one. And everything is posted on the agenda, both the PowerPoints and the full board report. So first off, as I said, this is our board update, and I am Sue V. And next slide. And Al, would you, we're going to have each trustee do a slide. So Al, can you do this slide, please? Al, oh, Al, can you be unmuted? And this is Al Ebrad.
Let's see if we can find him. Al, can you raise your hand?
I know he's in the room. There he is.
There he is.
Okay, go ahead, Al.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everyone. ACA World Services purpose. The sole purpose of the Adult Children of Alcoholics World Service Organization, that's ACAWSO, is to serve the fellowship of the adult children of alcoholics. The Board of Trustees' fiduciary responsibility is to serve the fellowship and to maintain its business functions using a blend of spiritual and business principles. The source of this is the letters of incorporation, the bylaws, and the OPPM. Thank
Thank
you.
you. Thank you, Al. Next slide. And Jim R.
Good morning, friends. My name is Jim. I'm a trustee on the board of ACA World Service Organization. Tradition five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the adult child who still suffers. I will read the meditation. Higher power, help us remember that ACA has but one primary purpose, which centers the fellowship and which simplifies most discussions. Help us remember to ask ourselves a simple question when we are doing the business of ACA. Does what we are about to do support the primary purpose of carrying the ACA message to another adult child needing help? This is found in both the Big Red Book in Chapter 19 and in the Good Enough Group booklet. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim. Next slide. And Doug, would you leave it, please?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. I'm Dove H, a grateful adult child. Who are your trustee volunteers? Sue V is our chair. She is in her fourth year of trustee service. Tamara P, our treasurer and secretary. She is in her fourth year of trustee service. Dove H, I am trustee. I am in my third year of trustee service. Rich R is trustee, second year of trustee service. Jim R is our new vice chair. Yay, Jim. And first year of trustee service. Ken R is trustee in his first year of trustee service. Al E, a trustee in his first year of trustee service, and Elisa A is trustee in her first year of trustee service. Thank you. Pass.
Thank you, Dove. Next slide. And Tamara, may you do this, please?
Hello, everyone. Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. Just last week, I guess, yeah, just last week, January 25th, we celebrated 47 years of ACA Fellowship. Yay. That's amazing. We're at an important moment in our history as our global fellowship continues to expand and more delegates are joining the conference across the world. Really, it's amazing. The board is committed to developing a conference structure as directed by the fellowship. That's a very important next step that we are looking forward to. This will be achieved through delegate discussions, guidance, and group consensus at the QDMs and ABCs. Now is your time. Implementing large-scale systems changes takes a lot of time, and we look forward to the process. And the concepts, traditions, and collaboration will create a strong foundation for how we can work harmoniously together.
Thank you, Tamara. Next slide will be Ken. We're just going to give brief highlights of what's in the board report. There's much more detail in that document. Ken.
If you could raise your hand before you speak, so we could see you better, that would be fantastic.
Great. Thank you, Brad, for that. So raise your hand, Ken, and let's go.
There we go. I'm Ken Haar, a grateful adult child. Welcome to the conference today. How do we serve the fellowship? Fellowship and public engagement, strengthening my recovery, audiobook, and working with prisons. Conference and WSO relationship. 13 approved ABC motions are in progress. Collaboratively supporting a conference structure. And finance and business stability. Our 2025 budget and price adjustment and support for special workers, and especially for the folks impacted in the California fire area. I pass.
Thank you, Ken. Next slide is Rich R. If you can raise your hand. There you go.
Hi, everybody. So the Board of Trustees serves the fellowship and WSO committees. Member services support around the world and ABC groups supporting the conference. And board sustainability, we do outreach to find additional trustees and internal supports. Thank you.
Thank you, Rich. Next slide. Listening in and supporting in unity, connecting our fellowship, conference, committees, board, and staff. That is the board update overall. We're going to now move to the next presentation, which is the presentation on the upcoming price adjustment. Bill Dalton, our general manager, will be doing this. His hand's raised. And Bill, I turn it over to you.
Thank you, Sue. Hello again, everyone. I'm Bill D., Grateful Adult Child, and I'm speaking this morning as the general manager of WSO's World Service Office. In preparing the budget, which we started in August, we ran up against a shortfall, and we started analyzing our sales and our revenues, and we saw that inflation had crept up on us and had taken a bite, about 12.8%. out of the revenue over the last 3 years. So we proposed a price increase, and this slide is about that, this slideshow. Ensuring ACA sustainability, literature price adjustment. ACA's World Services remains dedicated to supporting ACA fellowship growth by maintaining financial health. The updated pricing starts March 1st, 2025. The price adjustments support sustainability of our fellowship. The Big Red Book, for example, will increase $2 to $23. All other printed books is an increase of $3. The ebook, digital books, will remain unchanged. And other products, there'll be proportional adjustments which will apply, including pricing on some international literature products. Why is the price adjustment necessary? To offset inflation primarily. Inflation impact since 2022 was 12.8%. $21 in 2022 equals $23.57 today. Align profit margins to 30% for most literature. That's still 10% below the industry standard of 40%. Support future needs, ensures continued access to English and translated literature, supports a global fellowship in 69 plus countries and 30 languages, available in multiple formats for wider accessibility. We want to ensure financial stability, balance the 2025 budget, cover rising costs, sustain essential operations, and prevent a budget deficit. Again, to help support the fellowship, the price adjustment was delayed until March 1st, 2025. without a price adjustment. In 2022, when a price adjustment was delayed until after the ABC in June, the actual budget deficit that year was 82,000. With no price adjustment until June 1st, 2025, we estimate the budget deficit to be 71,000. And if we don't do a price adjustment in 2025, we expect the budget deficit to be minus $152,000. Price adjustment on March 1st, 2025, will give us an estimated year-end net income of $10,214. Commitment to affordability and accessibility. We're proud of what we have achieved together and remain committed to evaluating cost and finding savings where possible. Even with these changes, our commitment to affordability and accessibility remains steadfast. We still have the International Literature Fund, which is available for groups in need. We have the discounts. The intergroup discount is still there, up to 30% for intergroups and region purchases. And translations. Newly translated publications will remain eligible for discounts up to 60%. How the price adjustment helps support our fellowship. Revenue from book sales is essential to maintaining ACA's global efforts. In 2024 alone, ACAWSO distributed over 100,000 books and e-books globally in 14 languages, with 16 more languages in translation currently. We provided over 3,000 hours of translation and publishing support to expand literature availability. We funded 3,000 plus hours of IT support to enhance fellowship services, maintain websites, upgrade software, and improve digital communications. In conclusion, this decision, in accordance with Concept 6, reflects our commitment to ACA's long-term sustainability, financial responsibility, and the evolving needs of our global fellowship. The checks and balances in the budgetary system are completed by financial experts, accounting firm, and auditors to ensure sound fiscal responsibility. This is only the second price adjustment since the first ACA book was published 19 years ago. During the 2022 ABC, a majority of delegates supported a price adjustment to match inflation. At the 2025 ABC, as per Concept 6, the board will seek conference approval for a long-term pricing policy that sustains our fellowship and WSO for the future. And now, Al E., trustee, would like to say a few words.
Thank you, Bill. Good morning, everyone, or good afternoon or good evening, depending on your time zone. I'd like to start by saying that there are two pillars that support this fellowship. One is service, and the other is cash. While ACA is a spiritual organization, all about the recovery of an adult child, it exists in the real world. Existence in the real world means that we bring all the challenges with expenses that each of us face in our own lives. And this is also part of the fellowship of ACA's existence. So the price adjustment is not a unique price adjustment for books. That's been done previously over the past 19 years. Now, no one likes or enjoys, pardon me, price adjustments, but it has become part of our personal everyday life. Question: has your internet or other utility bills, car insurance, housing expense like increased rental gone up since last year? For me, for example, I'm paying 39% more for my car insurance. That's with no accidents and only driving 2 days a week. The same pricing pressures that you experience on a personal basis also affects the fellowship. Back to present day, the board has delayed the adjustment on prices to March 1st, 2025, giving intergroups, regions, and fellow travelers time to adjust. My hope is that the knowledge provided in this session will unite the fellowship and not divide it. The priceless gift of recovery and serenity was given to all of us more than 47 years ago. And we today stand on the shoulders of those who previously gave their service and their cash to perpetuate the good news of recovery and serenity. And by the way, belated happy birthday to ACA and congratulations on its 47th year this past January 25th. For those who primary language is not English, these remarks are in the addenda to these slides. Thank you very much for your attention.
Thank you, Al. And we turn it over for questions and answers.
Okay, we have about 10 minutes for questions and answers. Please raise your hand if you'd like to. Kelly.
Thank you. Just a couple of questions and an attempt to keep it in my 1 minute. So it was mentioned concept six. The conference has the final decision on matters of large matters of policy and finance. And as was pointed out, this is a large matter of finance. So I am wondering, and I understand inflation. I do question, though, of all the books that have been published that are now under conference fellowship review, what happens with that review? Are they then republished at a whole nother significant cost? But my real question is, why not, instead of delay it and then ask for a policy to be approved by the conference, why not delay it and ask for approval of this increase, which is a matter of large finance? So why not do that, then create the policy and ask us to approve that?
So I'll take that, and please time the answers, and it'll be either myself or someone else. And those are really good questions. I think what you saw in the presentation is the trustees were faced with a waiting, and it would have been projected a $71,000 deficit. And that's what happened in 2022 when we went. And at that point, they said, keep up with inflation. It's our full intention in 2025, ABC, to bring that very thing, pricing policy in the years ahead, so that we maintain that. And I want to keep my remarks brief so we can have everybody voices heard here. Thanks.
Next is Corbett.
Good morning, delegates. I'm Corbett with Region 6 in California. I thank everyone for their service. And my question is a little bit more specific to the financial aspect of the situation. I've tried to review the IRS statements and the annual budgets and noticed that the staff of the office, which I believe to be 8 people, has an annual budget over $600,000. And I'm confused as to how 8 people could make that much money. And it also included it's somewhere $90,000 to pay for a bookkeeper a year. I'm just thinking that there might be other ways to balance the budget than increase the book sales. I don't really have a question other than I would like to see the 2025 budget and the salaries for all the staff in the office. Thank you.
So the first thing is that we hired an HR firm, and we have been talking about it for the past year. And the HR firm has done a compensation analysis on all salaries, including the general managers. We also asked them to look at percent payroll to ensure that we're looking at it from a sustainability perspective. And the answer is that from the percent payroll is we're right in line with the other 12-step world services of comparable sizes. So as far as salaries being posted, the salaries of anybody making over $100,000 is posted on the 990. You can see that. Then we have privacy issues for individual employee salaries. And I'll end at that again. I want to keep my remarks short, just so that everybody can have a voice here. Thanks.
Thank you, Sue. And now for WEB0188, Abraham.
Yeah, I was just a question. Given moving forward with whatever policy, if there had been any consideration about incorporating into whatever policy is discussed and passed moving forward, that has an automatic mechanism where I think keeping up with inflation is something that our time could be better spent as a conference. If there's language that can be put into the policy that says there's an automatic like step up to keep pace with inflation, could save us from having to spend valuable time rehashing this every time the price of something goes up. I mean, I saw eggs for $11 a dozen in Colorado a couple days ago. It's just the unfortunate reality of the world we live in. That's all.
Thank you, Abraham. And absolutely, we are looking at that. So we will put your remarks in that development of that policy for sure. We're in line with that. Over to you, William.
And Region 5, Northeast, U.S., Josh W.
Yeah, good morning, everybody. And thanks for the presentation, Bill. And thanks to the board for giving the presentation. Two things. One, I think it's important to note that in some other fellowships, the budget of the WSO actually goes before the approval for the conference. MA is one of them. Just a point of reference. Number two, on this particular issue, I agree with Kelly that per concept six, it would be more appropriate for this to go in front of the conference. I think that that could actually happen here today. This could be a vote where we approve this proposal. And in that spirit, I would make a motion right now that we approve this proposed increase. Thank you.
Josh, I'm...
No,
Unfortunately, we don't have a process for a motion.
I would suggest that if the conference raises a motion, that there's now a motion on... There's something that's been raised. I think this is
not to interrupt, but could I just answer the question first? Because there was something you said, and then the motion. But I'll go with whatever the point, the order is of the conference. I didn't get a chance to even respond before that, so I'll ask for a clarification from the chairs and the parliamentarian whether I can.
Please go ahead, sir.
I can answer. Okay. So the first thing is, I just want, I'm in contact with all the 12-step World Service organizations at our level, at the board level. And I don't know of anyone that goes for pre-approval. Yes, they do go and post their budgets. And as we've done with our audit reports at the conference, and they do take questions, but there's no pre-approval of the budget that I'm aware of at this point. And I know Narcotics Anonymous is on a five-year plan. So anyway, I just want to say that we can continue to look at that. The 3-year, thanks, Josh, it's 3-year. Yeah, so they're on a 3-year plan. I just want to say that in the answer, as far as what we do with the motion is not mine, I turn that back to the chairs and the parliamentarian.
William, can I answer that?
Sure.
Okay, so that would fall under a floor motion, and there is no process for a floor motion at a QDM. The current OPPM lists floor motion under a two-day conference. So options, one option is to present a floor motion at the ABC to decrease the prices. Another option, possibly would be to appeal to the board or to work with a WSO committee to bring a motion to the ABC.
What does the parliamentarian think about this?
We have discussed it, and what I'm telling you is what was discussed.
So delegates cannot raise motions, we're being told, at the QDM.
At this time, there is no process for that.
I just want everyone to hear that. Thank you. Yeah.
We'll go to the next person because we only have a few more minutes.
Okay. CT087 Joseph, New York. You're muted. You seem to be. We can't hear you.
Perhaps turn off your audio.
This is connecting to audio.
It says you're not connected. Video. If you can hear me, you want to go ahead and in your microphone in the bottom left-hand corner of your screen, you click that, it'll ask you to connect to the audio.
Yeah, perhaps we can move on and then come back to Joseph.
Okay. IG630, Stefan.
There we go. Hi, everybody. I was curious whether there's other things that we could sell from the shop. I've looked at other 12-step organizations, and there's things like trifold racks that are sold, things that support the fellowship and the literature and everything we do, but give us another income stream other than raising the price of the books. Whether that's within our permission, what we've given ourselves permission to sell on our website. Just curious.
Thank you, Stefan. And Bill, did you want like in 30 seconds? I know you're always looking at this and you got a new idea from Stefan to add.
Yes, Stefan, thank you for the question. We do look at other items to sell that relate to ACA program and recovery. We sell bookmarks, we sell teddy bears. There's other things on there, but the wire racks, we haven't found an affordable wire rack yet in the quantity that we would order. So it's not a good idea at this moment, but if we find one that's affordable, we'll do it.
2 minutes remaining.
Moving on, is Joseph back?
Joseph, would you like to speak now?
Yes. So I'm a member of the Connecticut Intergroup, and we had a recent discussion about the price increase. We were fine with it for the most part. The only objection that was raised was regarding the New Beginner's Handbook, which is a much smaller publication. We felt that a $3 increase for that very small publication was asking a lot for people who are just coming in and were wondering, could some exception be made to that particular piece of literature? Maybe only giving a $2 price increase or something like that. Yes.
Thank you. We'll take that under advisement. That's why we want to talk about this. We want to get feedback. So thank you for that, Bill. And I don't want to come back because I want to give other people time to talk. I hope you're okay with that. But we've noted it. Joseph, thank you for that. Stephen?
Time for one more. Stephen? WEB 0280.
Hello. I guess I had a couple thoughts. One is our questions words. One is essentially like I do think it would be a good idea to have some sort of formal thing where it is tied to inflation, and I don't know if they would review, like they would keep up with it every quarter, every half year, something like that. So it's just a formal process, because I agree, I think it makes sense for it to be built in, because inflation, unfortunately, happens. I guess the other thing would be at the ABC, perhaps it would be a good idea to create some sort of process for raising motions at QDMs. And that's all from me.
Thank you, Stephen. And yes, absolutely agree on that point. William, I know we're running out of time, but we have two hands up. I'm not sure if it will be allowed just to finish this off.
Yeah, we can take these last two. Stephen Schwartz. Stephen?
Okay, perhaps move on and
IG 599 Minturn. Oh, the coordinator had to unmute me. Anyway, quickly, orders placed before March 1st, regardless of when they're delivered, will be honored with the previous, with the current pricing. Just want to be sure because once I'm the literature chair for the intergroup, and once it's shared that these prices are going to go up, I think groups will place these orders, and I just want to make sure that the pre-March 1st orders will be honoring the pre-March 1st pricing. Thank you.
Absolutely, 100%. We will honor that.
And Stephen, would you like to speak now? Okay, that's all the time we have for this section. Now I'm going to turn it over to Carmen for the minority opinion on the December QDM motion on fellowship group voting process.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to go ahead and log in. So I'm just going to briefly go over the why we do a minority opinion, why it's important. I'll briefly go over the motion that the process motion that is being presented today, and then the process for the minority opinion, and then we will go into the minority opinion. I am aware that not everyone was present at the December QDM. I think we have 30 new delegates this time. So if you do not feel comfortable or you do not feel you have enough information, then you can abstain from the minority opinion vote. So what is the purpose of a minority opinion? It goes to concept five, which is the right of petition, and that assures that the minority opinion will be considered. And there's some guiding principle, which is an informed group conscience. And a minority opinion is very essential to an informed group conscience. And it's also the right of appeal, which acknowledges that the minority opinion can be right and that it can sway an entire debate. So if we're talking about an informed group conscience, a minority opinion is really an important, essential part of that. It's very important in 12 steps. To give the minority opinion because it plays an important role. So I'm going to just give a brief couple of slide summary of the fellowship group-wide voting process motion. So the specific vote is to approve a new proposed process for fellowship group voting. And again, this is approving the process, not any motions that will be done by this process. And so the process includes a couple of components. One is the conference will direct the board when to do a fellowship group vote. There will be a dedicated web page to provide information. Each registered group will have one vote with a unique voting link. Groups will be given a minimum of 4 months to vote. And each vote, there will be a section for the groups to state their reasons for voting one way or another. And it does require substantial unanimity, greater than 67%. The results of the vote will be posted within 2 weeks. The voting results and next steps will be added to the next ABC agenda. And revisions of this process can only be made by conference approval. So what is a fellowship group vote? It's a vote that goes across all registered meetings, groups, regions, and we don't currently have this process, and it's guided by concept one. So why do we need a fellowship group voting process? In 2024 ABC, delegates approved the fellowship name to go to delegates or to go to meetings or to go to the fellowship, but we didn't have a process for it. So the board, instead of creating a process and just doing it, wanted to get the conference in approval and feedback on the process. And so that's what happened at the December QDM. 79.25% voted in favor, and the vote did meet quorum. I'm going to save the next steps. So that is what is being the minority opinion on today, which is the fellowship group voting process. So then how are we going to do that? Okay, so the process is that I will ask, does anyone have a minority opinion? And again, this is a reason why you think the conference should reconsider their decision. And if there is no minority opinion, then the vote is final. If there is a minority opinion or people do want to speak, there will be up to three members will be given up to 1 minute each to speak. And the minority opinion response, the proposer will have 2 minutes to respond to the minority opinion. Delegates will then be polled whether they want to revote. And again, it's each person's decision whether they feel comfortable or have enough information to vote. And if it gets more than 40%, then it will go back for a second vote. Okay, I'm going to stop screen share. At this time, I want to see if anyone has any questions specifically about the minority opinion process before we start the before we start. And Brad?
Carmen, is it right that only people that voted no last time can voice a minority opinion?
That's not, I don't, that's
That's
not
correct.
specifically in the OP. Oh, sorry, hello.
That's the intent.
Okay, that is the intent. Thank you. Any questions from delegates before we get started? About, and this is about the process. DEN0090 Mia. DEN
Okay.
nine
Hello,
zero
this is
zero.
Mia speaking.
Yes.
Yes, I'm a little bit confused. This is my first QDM meeting. I didn't participate in the last meeting, so I'm not sure if this is a voting process. If we are voting about a new voting system. Or should we vote about the name change study? Because I couldn't participate last time, and I know there's an opinion in Denmark. Our delegates wrote to the board that they didn't think we have been heard in this name change study. And I know there's a big group in Denmark who doesn't want the name ACAD, and they wasn't heard in during the 2 years this process has been going on. So I'm a little bit I don't know exactly. What we are voting about.
Thank
Thank
you.
you.
Yeah, that's a good question. So one is welcome to this QDM. So one is this process has already been voted on and approved. This is specifically a minority opinion, which is for people that voted against it to appeal to the conference to reconsider their vote. So this is only specifically a decision to reconsider the vote that was approved in December. And specifically, this is approving the process. This is not related, or this is not approving or disapproving the name change study itself. This is just a process that will that this is just approving a process, and one of the first one that will be used as a name change study. But this doesn't have any specific
relationship to the name change study itself at this moment. It's just the process. So your group will still have time to give feedback specifically on the name change, because that process has not started yet. And then WEB, oh, sorry, DEN004, Wider.
Okay,
Jim, here we
are
go.
You still doing
yeah,
this?
I'm there. This is Vita speaking, proud member of AGA. I just have this one question for you about when you stated that it will only be the voters, the people that voted no the last time, that could state a minority opinion. That means that if you voted yes last time and in the meantime changed your opinion, you will not be able to state a minority opinion. That's the question. Thank you.
Yeah. So in this case, it would be someone who voted no, that wants the conference to reconsider. WEB
10.
Okay. WEB 0445, Ken.
Correct. Thank you. That's me. and I have a cold. I'm curious as to who are the voters, stakeholders. Is it individuals, groups, or I also saw intergroup there? Each of these get a vote? And are there other
registered meetings, which would include meetings in intergroups and regions, get one vote.
As well, so their vote would be one, and individual, I see, but individual members would not. Okay, just the groups and intergroups.
Correct.
It sounds like it might be weighted to me, but I'll go with the group.
Okay, thank you. All right, and we'll do one last question, and then we'll go to that. DEN0090, Mia.
Hello, this is Mia speaking again. I'm still a little confused. So, if I'm unsatisfied with the voting process, and I think that the minority group hasn't been heard, I should vote no. If I'm satisfied with the voting process concerning the name change study, I should vote yes. Is that correct? Thank you.
If you want, the minority opinion, I'll do just in a minute. And if after the end of that, you think there should be a revote, then you can vote yes for a revote.
Can I clarify something, Carmen?
Sure.
Mia, this has nothing to do with the name change right now. It's only the process of the vote. Does that make it any clearer?
Sorry, I didn't hear your answer because my connection was bad. Can you please repeat?
Okay. Yes, this is about the process. It's not about the name change at all. It's only about the process of taking a motion to the fellowship. Does that help?
Yes, okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Coming back to you.
Perfect. Okay. So is there a minority opinion on the fellowship group-wide voting process? And it will be up to three people, and you can speak up to 1 minute. And CA1331, Zoe.
Hi, everybody. I wanted to know because I thought we needed to take more time to make the decision for a fellowship-wide process. I thought it might go to a committee or a working group for discussion, possibly, but at least it could come back to the 2025 annual business meeting. And part of that is my experience with my home group, where when we have an important decision, we take more than one discussion to do a group conscience on it. We usually take two or three business meetings to make those decisions. And I thought this was an important one. Thank you.
Thank you. TEL0341 Kelly.
Thank you. Well, as we just saw, the sort of trying to parse out this fellowship-wide voting with the name change, that was problematic and confusing enough to begin with. But there, and this was a board motion presented at the last QDM. Well, we don't ask for, as we just saw when Josh asked about presenting a motion, we don't have a process for that. But it was presented at the last QDM, and I just really wonder why, and sort of what was I just heard, why this didn't just go to a ballot proposal for the 2025 ABC, just like all other groups. That's the process other groups have. So it seems like the process was sort of it was preempted by this particular motion and dropped at the last QDM, and it definitely seemed rushed. And I think because of procedure and process, and the fact that we don't have a process for these motions, yet one was presented, that it is problematic and really should go on pause until the ABC. And again, just parsing out the name change vote with this was also confusing and problematic. Thank you.
Thank you. And just to be clear, I said we do not have process for floor motions for one day delegate meetings, which would be a QDM.
That's sort of what that was. It wasn't presented.
IG70 Westlakes.
Thank you. My name is Karen. I'm a gratefully recovering adult child, and I am kind of piggybacking on what my predecessors said already. I had to vote no on this motion, regardless of how I feel about the subject matter at hand, because as we have heard, there is no process established for presenting motions at the quarterly delegate meetings, which means that there is not sufficient time for delegates to consider the motion at hand, discuss them with their groups, and come back with a well-informed decision, which is possible both through the ballot process and through the process for submitting a committee or board motion at the ABC, so that we can all come together and come to a well-informed group conscience about such an important decision. And so I too would feel much more comfortable making a decision about this important issue at an actual ABC where we have established procedures. Thank you.
Okay, and then I will give the presenters of the motions 2 minutes to speak.
Thank you, Carmen. And Ken will be handling this part of the section, and we're listening. That's what we wanted. We wanted to listen to the delegate feedback on how to follow and approve 2024 ABC motion. So, Ken, can you go next, please?
Oh, Ken is on mute. And Ken, do you want me to share the slides?
No, not at this point. Go to the second to last slide and put that up. Since Carmen did not talk about that. Well, my name is Ken Haar. I'm one of the authors of the process motion. And just to clarify, the questions about the name study were an issue related to a May process that was approved by the delegates that went forward for a fellowship-wide group voting. So the proposal was made, and it was worked on by delegates from the West Coast, delegates from the East Coast, and I'm in the Midwest. So there was wide input on this, whether in the sustainability group or the ABC committee. This was not created in a vacuum, and I think that's a real misnomer. We presented the presentation 55 days ago at the
I'll talk to
December.
you. Kind of just wanted to piss that off.
Hi, sorry. There was a point of order regarding how much regarding the 2 minutes given to the presenting group. So if it's okay, I'm just going to confer with the other chair before we proceed.
Okay, it's in the OPPM.
Yeah, I'm just go ahead and proceed for the rest of the 2 minute time.
okay, and who's tracking the time that I know what is remaining?
Hi, Jim here. Time's sort of up.
Well, it
I
wouldn't
don't know if
count.
you want to extend.
The consultation time wouldn't count, would it?
No. No. Okay, I will continue. Jim, you figure out what time is remaining. Quick comments to the delegates. 55 days ago on the December 7th QDM, basically 80% of the delegates accepted the process motion to go ahead. And their desire is to get the decision-making process to our groups. That's what we're trying to do. We've listened to the delegates. We listened to the motion in May. We listened to the desire of the conference, and we're trying to accomplish that. The issues concerned are valid issues, but the 80% of your delegates, they weren't valid issues. They wanted to continue with the process. And again, this is a process. So when you want to deal with issues of charter, deal with issues of our fundamental systems, traits, etc., that we have guidelines to go by, and we can get the greater conscience of the fellowship involved. People say they want to be involved in running the business, or we've got the welcome mat out to do that. You're right. The name thing goes back years, goes back to 22, and has been going around. We're trying to get a process approval, a process motion approved to help move this forward and get
Okay,
the
that's
groups more
the, I'm
involved.
sorry, the 2 minutes is up.
Okay.
The 2 minutes is up. Okay.
Thank you. Thank
All
you,
right.
the delegates.
Okay. So the question to delegates now is,
Carmen, you're
Carmen,
muted.
you're muted.
Thank you. Sorry about that. Would any delegates like a revote based on the information that was heard? Okay. And we have 10 people. Is that what you're seeing, Brad?
I'm seeing
If you would
nine.
like a revote, if you like a revote, please keep your hand up. I
Yeah, I'm
saw
seeing
they just moved
nine, Carmen. Okay,
10.
10 now.
Okay. All right. Okay, so 10 people.
I'm seeing nine.
I'm just gonna give it one more second because I want to make sure we get it right for everyone. If you would like a revote, please keep your hand raised. I just want to make sure we get this correct.
There's
A
10. Point of order.
Yes.
Someone's voting without a designation of intergroup or meeting.
Is that Pam? It says it's her secondary device, so she may have it on her.
It's Mia M. There.
She just renamed
Okay.
herself. Thank you.
Okay, cool.
Okay. Okay. Going once, going twice. 11 people. Okay. So we have 11 people. All right. And then that did not meet the threshold for 40%. All right. So the motion will stand. And thank you everyone for participating in this process. The minority opinion is very vital to the to this process and of an informed group conscious. So thank you for everyone that spoke up regarding your minority opinions. So we will now take a break. We're a little bit behind, but that's okay. We'll catch up. And we will return at what it will be seven, we'll just say 7:40
Marcus, what's
for
the
me, so
time?
that would be 10:40.
40 after the hour.
40 after the hour.
Thank
Thank
you.
you.
I just want to make in relationship to point of order. I think a point of order was brought up outside the process. I think maybe somebody who had the ability to chat directly to the chairs, something like that. Anyway, please go through the point of order. If you have a point of order, it's less interruptive of the meeting and the chairs. Thank you.
Thank you. That's a good point. All right. So, we'll see you guys back in 10 minutes.
William, you didn't close the fridge for I don't know how long.
Everyone mute, please.
Carmen, would you like to get started?
Yes, I would.
Okay. Hi, everyone. We're back from our break. Now I'd like to introduce our presenter for the Sustainability Sub-Subcommittee, Charlie H. and Josh W.
Raise your hand.
I am here. Charlie, are you there? Charlie, you might want to raise your hand.
Yeah, thanks.
There you
Okay,
go.
got it. Somebody finally found me so I could unmute. Apologies. First off, thanks very much, William, for introducing us. I believe I have the ability to share a screen, and Josh and I are going to go through it. We've actually done a number of presentations. The Sustainability Committee was created at the 2024 ABC. There was a motion stating that the conference was in danger, in essence, of collapsing because it did not have enough support to keep it going. And they wanted to go from 4 meetings a year to two. Instead, the conference authorized a fast-tracked study on how to make delegate meetings more sustainable. And this included three distinct issues. They wanted us to report to the 2025 ABC, which is now just a few months away, on an appropriate number of delegate meetings, strategies for maintaining volunteer support, and then models to optimize the meeting's value and delegate experience. We already had a study in process going on, but it was focusing on the conference charter. And so to make this very tight 1 year deadline to come back with a report, that charter subcommittee opted to create a second group, which is a sustainability study to handle this additional work. As I say, our biggest task is to get a report done in 3 months, and that's why we asked for time today. We'd like to gather some information directly from delegates, as we've been doing at the last two QDMs, and that will inform our report. Now, we wanted to focus on three interrelated issues. We all sort of have an idea of what we do at these conference meetings, but we've never really formally gone through what are the exact purposes or even gotten, delegate agreement that that is what we should be doing. The reason we want to start there is that directly answers the question. You can't know how much time you need to do something unless you agree on what it is you're trying to do. And then lastly, after going through those two tasks, and that will include the question of delegate voting, which, as we just saw in the last hour, the current situation puts real limits of these QDMs on when delegates can and can't vote. All of those things will affect the question of how often do we need to meet, how long do we need to meet. The larger question we've all been trying to answer is, does the structure of how we meet right now serve the purpose of the conference? Does it, and particularly our authorities. Now, so the overall issue for today is we have a sustainability problem. The co-chairs who organize the meeting, the committee organizes the meeting, have found out the hard way, along with the rest of us, that we are currently trying to do more than is sustainable given the current resources that we have. What does that look like in practice? Burnout by volunteers, attrition, missed deadlines. It just kind of creates a sense of distress throughout the process. And so we're really addressing a tension between what we want to do, hope to do, versus what we actually can do given our current resources. So, in other words, these topics we're talking about today, we're thinking of as a resources constraints problem. Two ways to solve that. One is reduce what we're trying to do. The other is to somehow expand the resources. That might include people, more volunteers and special workers. Might mean more time at meetings, a longer meeting versus the current length. It might mean more time between meetings particularly to allow planning. So that when we say resources, that can be a lot of things. So with that, I'm going to shift to my portion of the discussion.
Charlie, before you go on, can we just, because it's showing all these different slides at once, if you download it and then open it again, it'll blow it up so you can see one whole slide at a time.
How do I do that?
Go to download, if you go to see the download thing, put three buttons.
Okay.
Download, okay. And then open that, and it'll be much easier for everyone to see.
Aha. One of the great things about recovery is help is available, and you learn new skills to face life that you don't know before you start. So we're going to start with the purpose of the conference. And this is not just a specific event like the ABC. We're also looking at what is just our purpose when we gather together as 60, 70, sometimes 100 delegates as a service body. What's our collective purpose? What are we actually supposed to do when we get together? Now, we started with some basic resources that people don't necessarily consciously think of. Like other 12-step fellowships, the ACA has the 12 concepts of service. And these sort of lay out the different pieces of service, how they work together. And they say, in the case of the conference, we're supposed to act as the effective group conscience of the fellowship. This is concepts one and two. The conference is responsible for high-level strategic oversight of WSO. You heard the phrase earlier, questions of large policy and finance. That's concept six. And then also, where appropriate, we provide consent and high-level direction for World Services. It's not typically a micromanaging function, but it is a very, there's a lot of authority when it comes to high-level strategic direction. So in addition to the concepts, we're developing a charter. The work done so far largely agrees with this. It defines the conference as a service body of the ACA fellowship, and that we serve as the fellowship's collective group conscience, very similar to what the concepts say. We also have the bylaws, two sections there. WSO actually is obligated to convene an annual conference in the spring. The quarterly meetings have grown out of that because one two-day meeting was not seen as enough to do the work. And there are some specific responsibilities that are attributed to the conference there. By the way, if you look in the delegate channel, I put a similar slide to this with links to it. And I believe the tech team will put some information on the chat channel that sort of
it's tells already you been done. Find this.
Okay,
you're just supposed to be.
Super. The OPPM, the Operating Policy and Procedures Manual, has a whole section 13 that gives very detailed information about the conference. And then there's a document with a link to it about the role and the purpose of ABC and the delegates. That's a delegate training document. And then lastly, past conferences, decisions, and practices. There's been a lot of studies that have been commissioned in the last couple of years. Ballot proposals actually are not in the bylaws. They sort of come from, well, this is what we've been doing as long as we can remember, so we keep doing it. So with that, when we boiled it all down, we came down to that we're decision-making functions and information sharing and input functions. And I'm going to dissect those a little more closely because these are things when you think about it, if you've been to three or four of these gatherings, you'll remember you've done them. Some have already happened today. Decision-making really comes down to voting. We debate and vote on ballot proposals that receive sufficient support from registered groups. In the ABC, but at this moment not at the other meetings, have an opportunity for delegates to submit floor proposals on matters that have time urgency. There'll be more talk on Josh's section about voting, but I think from the price adjustment discussion, we've got a very fresh example of what the issues around voting might be. The delegates vote on ratification of trustees on the board, final approval of new literature, vote on motions presented directly to the conference by the board or committees, And then provide guidance during a meeting to the conference chair on matters of procedure, such as whether to pause or extend a meeting. Minority opinion we didn't put here, but we had an example of that this morning. Secondly, we also have these information sharing functions. Oftentimes it's valuable to the board and committees to say, this is what we're working on. What do you think? So delegates have an opportunity, even if they're not voting, to provide input. We hear updates and provide guidance on studies commissioned by the conference, including the sustainability study. This function is literally happening at this moment. We're presenting what we're doing, and we're going to seek your input. We hear treasurer and finance committee reports, and then just any other reports about committees and business operations. And finally, we engage in Q&A sessions with the board members, which, again, has already begun to happen today. So a lot of these are very regular roles. And then lastly, and interestingly, because of these studies, we're evolving to even more roles that aren't on the books right now. One possibility is that the conference will make final decisions on any changes to conference procedure. A lot of support for that at the last QDM. Making decisions regarding conference experience and sustainability. We'll be doing our report in May, and you'll be making decisions on that. And then other additional roles to attain the goal of having what we call a more delegate-driven conference. All of these are likely to lead to new roles and decisions that presumably would have to be made at business meetings. So we have the current workload and then possibly additional workload. So with that, I almost have hit my goal of 10 minutes exactly. We want to pause. And I know I whipped through a lot. I'm going to go back to the screen that has these decision and input sharing functions so you can look at it. But again, before we can move on to the questions 2 and 3 that Josh are going to handle, we need to kind of get your input. Does this seem to be roughly the right tasks that we're doing right now? Are there key things we're missing that might add to our workload? Or are there things where people are saying, I think maybe we're spending too much time on this?
And I would just sort of the dovetailing here. I think so. Charlie just went through a lot of stuff really fast. So this can feel overwhelming.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot going on here. So I just like to summarize from a very, I'm going to zoom out for a while. Let's go to like a 50,000 foot view level. Sorry, that's a English idiom. I'm going to zoom out. From a very high level, we're kind of saying, we're trying to put on the table right now, what is it we're doing here? And why are we trying to do it? Like there's an important thing that's we've started talking about. We say the conference, but there's two ways in which that phrase is meant. And we're starting to try to use some language to disambiguate these two, to clarify how those terms are different. There's one, there's the meetings of the conference, like the meeting we're in here today, right? And then there's the idea of the conference as a service body, right? Which is like, there's a body of delegates that is a service body that comes together and has meetings where they try to do business. And so if you think about these two things, the meetings and the service body, the meetings of the service body, what we're kind of saying is, what is the purpose of each of those? And one thing Charlie touched on a slide before that I think is really important is we started trying to talk about, I think it was several slides earlier, we started trying to say, what's the purpose of the meetings? But it very quickly led into, well, that takes us into what's the purpose of the service body itself. So we're kind of talking about both of those things at the same time. So I just wanted to say that as a piece of context for discussion.
Okay, great. A rare time that I talk too fast. People seem to have the opposite objection. But what I want to maybe slow down a little on mine, what I'd like people to do is over the next 10, 12 minutes, you can just do it from your own thinking based on your own experience, or you can look at this list or this notion of the conference, you know, having the speaking on behalf of the fellowship. Generally speaking, do you think the things that activities that typically happen either at an ABC or a quarterly delegate meeting in those categories. Do you generally think the work, as we're doing it right now, is roughly the right bundle of work? Or are we missing something? Or are there things we should cut back? Because all of this influences the next topic, which is, or one of the later topics, which is how often we should meet. So I'd like to open the floor for about 10 minutes for any delegate who wants to raise their hand. And I believe Carmen or one of the co-facilitators will be calling on people to speak.
So please raise your hands if you have any thoughts or comments. Stephen or Stefan, whichever.
Is that me?
Yes.
Yeah. Hi, my name's Steve Schwartz, and I represent 254 in Florida, South Florida. I've been coming to ACLA 36 years, and there's been big changes. We had business meetings, and if there wasn't yelling, screaming, or fist fights, it was a successful meeting. Obviously, things have changed. Just my general overview, that it looks like a COA has become a bloated bureaucracy. And I haven't heard one thing about how we intending to help the individual groups or how to help the suffering ACOA. And the exorbitant salaries, the overinflated budget, not talking about reducing spending, only about raising the prices. Fine, I sound like a politician, but I think it's important to not spend so much money and try and use that money to help the suffering ACOA. And this is the way it's worked. We have, over the years, we didn't have any of this stuff, and a lot of people recovered. And, you got to think about this. It's very hard for you guys here because you're part of the bureaucracy. And in theory, the idea of a bureaucracy is to keep the bureaucracy going. And that's what seems to be happening here. And just thank you for listening.
Thank you, Stephan. Could I remind the delegates to please stay on point? We're trying to talk about the PowerPoint that Charlie just presented.
Yeah, what I just heard, I would consider on point.
Yeah,
I might have a response to that, but it's not time for me to respond.
Yeah, I no issue.
Okay, thanks. Web 1030, Mary Beth.
Hi, first of all, can you hear me?
Yes.
I would like to thank everyone for their service. It's difficult to keep this positive, I guess. I was in politics. This is politics. You've only got 5% of the people or representatives showing up. I think that it's time to just stop. I wonder, but then I'm old, how much of this has to do with Zoom. But I come out of 40 years and another in two other 12-step programs. There's always a shortage of volunteers, even at the local level. I'm doing service in one other group besides this.
Gentle time.
Okay, that's it again. But the one thing you're doing right, you're looking at it. Well done. Thank you.
And WI261, Matt K.
Yes, welcome, delegates. I'm coming back to some service with the WSO, and this is one way of introducing myself to participating. And I just don't think I'll participate in these delegate meetings if we're not going to vote about WSO business. So I'll just kind of leave it at that. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay, 058 Bradford H.
Thank you. I see lots of good information, good purposes for the sustainability group, but I don't see anything about forming conference committees or any other activity directly related to helping the conference organize itself and take on its proper role. And I don't see anything on providing better education to the groups and the intergroups and the regions about the proper function of the conference in relation to WSO.
Thank you, Brad.
Can I speak to one point, just a point of information? Brad, I'm glad you actually mentioned those because we should have. The next segment of this meeting after this one that Josh and I are doing is all about conference procedure. So I think some of the questions you're raising on that end are almost certain to come up in the next segment. We're really focusing on the piece about capacity right now.
Thank you, Charlie. And NY0274, Virginia.
Hi, everybody. I'm Virginia, adult child. This is my first time serving as a delegate for ACA, but I am part of other 12-step programs. I just wanted to say, you know, from participating in other 12-step programs and seeing how, you know, the meetings run, the delegate meetings and all of that, it is pretty disorganized from my experience with other 12-step groups. So I want to say thank you to the group who studied, who did this study, because I think it's important to note where things are going wrong, because I feel like there's a lot of chaos going on in these meetings. And I think a structure that everyone can agree on to follow would be good. And, you know, I mean, we can always use other 12-step programs, too, as like a guide. Okay, this is what they spend.
That's gentle time.
At their meetings. And so that is it. Thank you for letting me share.
And WEB0590, Patricia.
Can't hear you, Patricia. Nothing.
Yeah.
We can't hear you, Patricia. WEB0280, Stephen A.
Before we start this, can somebody give us a time check as to when we need to
yes, please.
Wrap this up and so Josh can do his segment?
We have 4 more minutes.
Okay, great. Thanks so much.
Hi. I guess I kind of am thinking that having committees and subcommittees is a great way to make a lot of decisions. I think as ACA people, we can have a hard time putting trust in that and want to make all these decisions directly. But when we have such a big group, there's such a bottleneck that occurs that it makes it really hard to get things done. And so trying to find that balance where people are represented and we're like moving smoothly and making decisions is really difficult. And I think part of that comes to the nature of the perspective we're all coming from in this program and how a lot of us feel about trusting people and people being in power. And I think that's something that we have to keep in mind when we're
that's gentle
trying to
time.
Decide what that, thank you. The direction of what this looks like. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Trisha.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, we can.
I had to change microphones. This is my 4th year of serving as a delegate from my group. And I also serve in multiple volunteer capacities in WSO. And I got to say, I like this list of the decision-making functions Ballot proposals and floor proposals sound good. I do agree that we need to figure out a way to put the time urgent delegate motions for floor motions into QDM. But I also want to say that all of this stuff addresses what our role is as delegates, as helping to provide the methodology by which we're going to help people who need help. Like, well, some of us still need help, I'll just say that. But that some confusion happens when people don't know what we're voting on. And it's frustrating to hear people talk to something that isn't even up for vote because people are confused. I don't know what the issue is there, but this morning was very painful for me to listen to because we were
That's
supposed to
gentle time.
Thank you. One thing in the conversation kept drifting to other things, and it was a little bit chaotic, as others have said. Thanks.
And that's all the time for this open share session. We've hit 10 minutes.
Okay. Thank you so much, Trey. I'm going to turn it over to Josh. Do you want to take over the screen sharing, Josh?
I would love to. Also, I just saw a time thing in the chat that said we have 15 minutes left, but I think we're leaving 10 or 15 minutes for discussion.
I thought our discussion was for 10 minutes. That's what I heard initially.
For one segment, yes, that's correct on this segment. But I feel like we were supposed to have 45 minutes total, and I don't feel like we're down to... Anyway, perhaps we are running late. Anyway, Josh, good luck.
Yep, thank you. Yeah, I believe we said we would have 45 minutes for this entire segment. So anyways, okay, so this is what we just did. Just talked about that for a while. So now I'm going to pick up. And just again, to zoom out for a second, what we're doing is saying there's this fundamental problem of resource constraints, which is like, there's this great saying I hear in the rooms, which is like, if you don't have a coffee maker, nobody steps up to make coffee, you have no coffee, right? So there's like what you're trying to do, and then there's what you have resources to do. And there's a tension between those two things. So basically, the first part of this presentation was Charlie going over, okay, well, what are we trying to do, right? So now I'm going to take, now that we went through that, I'm picking up and going to the next session. Okay, so again, talk about this. What are we trying to do right here in the conference? Two really big questions are, do we want voting? Like the question that came up, you know, do we want voting at the QDMs and ABCs? And do we want new business to be able to be raised? So let's take them one at a time. The first one, do we need or want voting at non-ABC meetings of the conference? That means like in the QDMs, like we're in today. Whoever's, Al, can you mute yourself? Or it's not Al, is it? Somebody is, if you're not talking, can you mute, please? So our fundamental thought about this is, well, we're supposed to do business at the QDMs. How can you do business if you don't have voting? Right? So there's this kind of fundamental assumption that, yeah, we're going to need voting. But like, you know, correct us if we're wrong, kind of thing. Now, also want to acknowledge there are votes that have happened at prior QDMs. Right? But there has been a lack of clarity on policy. So what we're doing here today is coming to the delegates, putting this on the table and sort of saying, I think we need some clarity here. Can you provide us some guidance on your thoughts? Okay. And we're actually going to do a straw poll on this later at the very end of this, but we're not there yet. Okay. The second thing, so there's voting, then there's new business at non-ABC meetings of the conference, like at QDMs today. Do we want to be able to tackle new business at non-ABCs, or should it just be spillover business, right? There's the history behind some of these, the QDMs. Initially, they were created to handle spillover business from ABCs, but it's been evolving. So we're doing a check-in, right? They're saying, do we want to be able to tackle new business? And again, same thing. Want to acknowledge there has been new business rates at prior QDMs.
but there's been a lack of clarity on policy. So we're coming to you today, the conference, to put this on the table because we want to get to more clarity on this, and we are seeking the conference's guidance here. Okay, but these are sort of two big questions on the table. Do we want to have voting at QDMs, and do we want to be able to raise new business? Okay, next slide. Okay, length and frequency, okay? So like, how often do we have, you know, these non-ABC meetings? If you know, I'm not calling them QDMs, because if they're not quarterly, then you can't call them quarterly QDM. So, but for these things, how often should they happen and how long should they be? That's the question, right? So first thought is, well, if we have learned some things the hard way, basically, in our experience so far. And our assessment is, if we want voting, 4 hours is not enough. That's kind of our assessment. Again, one of these, tell us if you think we're crazy. But that's kind of our set, right? And also, if delegates want or like the breakout room things we've been doing many times, 4 hours will not be enough, right? So that's one thing. It's crunched on time, right, per meeting. Separate thing, right? This is on frequency. Given the current resources that are supporting putting on the conference, the current resources, things could change, but given the resources we currently have, 4 meetings a year is not sustainable. Okay, it's just people are getting burned out. It's things are falling through the cracks. This is just my personal statement. We know it's not working. It's not sustainable. We also know that given the conference workload and the needs, 1 to 2 times a year is not enough, right? So what's the sweet spot? Well, our thought was, and we're not making a recommendation today. Remember, this is all, we're trying to gather delegate input here today to actually inform the report that the sustainability is going to give at the 2025 ABC. So again, our whole purpose here is to just gather information. So we're not making a recommendation here today, but we are acknowledging that we are leaning towards a recommendation that we do something like 1 ABC and 2 non-ABCs a year at 6.5 hours apiece for the non-ABCs. We're currently leaning towards making that recommendation to try as a provisional practice, not like forever, but like, hey, why don't we try that out and see how it goes, kind of thing. Okay. So other options, you know, if we could increase resources, right? And maybe that could help things. But what does that look like? There's many different options there. We should all talk about that, right? Also want to acknowledge, maybe there's something else that we haven't thought of yet. You know, maybe somebody has a brilliant idea here today, and we'd love to hear it. Okay, so to acknowledge resources, what does it currently take to put the conference on, and who's doing that work, right? Currently, the work of putting on the conference is done through WSO committees today, all right? There's the work of the ABC committee, which has administrative work, agenda planning, delegate education. These are all sort of sub-functions of the ABC committee. There's the ballot prep committee, which handles the whole ballot prep process, which is a whole annual process, which I won't go into the details of right now. There's the IT committee. You know, Brad and Marchin, who like help it all go with our technology here today. There's the data analysis committee. Those are the guys who like do the surveys after this thing and say, how did it go? And then collect the feedback, you know, summarize it and present it out, right? So, and for each of those committees, they need volunteers and or special workers. They need time between meetings. They need time to rest for self-care to avoid burnout. There's a need for consistency of volunteer force. What that means is like, if you got 5 people and you're trying to do stuff and then 3 of them drop out, it's going to be hard, right? And there's also a need for volunteer training. So just putting on the table what that all takes, okay? Additional sustainabilities for the May report. Other things we're thinking about that we'll talk about more in May 2025. Strategies to support greater involvement by delegates in business meeting service, right? Strategies to manage ballot proposals per ABC and per year to align with conference capacity. Devise a plan for filling the process gap regarding policy and procedures for conference business meetings. We're going to talk more about that in the next segment. So we'll talk more about that later. But again, the overall issue for today is we've got a resource constraints problem, and we're trying to figure out how to solve it. That's what it comes down to. So when you have a resource constraints problem, there's two ways to solve it. You can reduce what you're trying to do, or you can get more resources, you know, AKA ask for help. I think that's an ACA theme. Let's see here. So now we're into open discussion. Charlie, we might want to talk about when we do the straw poll. Maybe it's at the end of discussion. Charlie is waving his hands, but he needs to be unmuted.
The Charlie, whoops. Okay, can people hear me? The Charlie desperation flag is going up. So we have about 7, perhaps 8 minutes for delegate conversation. Timing is a little tight. We would like to do a couple of show of hands votes at the end. But the questions we're really focusing on right now, do people think voting in new business should be part of all delegate meetings, regardless of when in the year they occur? And then the format, do people think the current 4 hours of four works, or are people open to this idea of perhaps one less meeting a year, but making the two non-ABC meetings enough longer that you can do things like breakout rooms and voting? So with that, I think we're opening it up to discussion for about 7-ish minutes, and I'm sort of pleading for another minute or two for the votes.
Yes, please, if we could possibly get it.
A show of hands from delegates, if anybody wants to be recognized to speak on these questions.
Dave Brant, perhaps it was up.
Yeah. And I see. William, are you calling on speakers again?
I just called on Brad H. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Thank you. The current process is what's unsustainable. In other 12-step programs, the conference of delegates, the entire conference of delegates, does not consider proposals that come directly from the groups. They go through a vetting process. A conference committee vets all of those proposals before they go to the conference. And only those that truly are affect ACA as a whole get to the conference agenda. And delegate education takes place at intergroups and regions, or should take place at intergroups and regions in ACA. There's no reason for the entire delegation to go into the depth of research that a committee can do and then make recommendations to the delegates so they can make an informed decision and when they vote at the conference. So
that's this, fine.
Thank you.
TEL 0341, Kelly J.
Thank you. I agree that there should be a division of responsibilities on carrying out the business meetings, and not all under the umbrella of the WSO committees. And there have been a few ballot proposals in the past 2 years that have sort of requested delegate-driven committees of the conference, which are separate but work parallel with WSO, and those proposals did not pass. So this is not a new idea, but it seems we're getting closer to seeing we need that because the current system isn't working. My question, though, is I was very confused when I heard that the QDMs are non-ABC meetings of the conference. That's confusing to me. The ABC is the meeting of the conference, the business meetings. It's my understanding the quarterly delegate meetings are meetings of the conference, meetings of delegates. I can't reconcile a QDM being called a non-ABC.
Gentle time.
Thank you.
If I could speak quickly to that, just as an informational thing, Kelly, we don't, we now currently call quarterly delegate meetings because we have four meetings a year. If the number of meetings changes, we would just have to come up with a different name, but they're all conference meetings.
They're all business meetings of the conference.
Conference, yeah.
But I did hear okay.
Yeah, so if we express that badly, our apologies, but they're all business meetings of the conference. William, back to you.
IG-70, West Great Lakes. Karen?
Thank you.
Sorry, Charlie or Josh, if there's been several requests to stop screen sharing during the...
Okay.
Thank you. Sorry, Karen.
Can I speak?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. My name is Karen. I'm a gratefully recovering adult child. I just want to comment that I have been serving at the conference level for 4 years now, initially as chair of the 2021 ABC and then as delegate in the three subsequent years. And every time I have made a suggestion for how to improve, how to contribute to the improvement of conference procedure, it just seems like another WSO committee was established, which led to even more of what another member called a bloated bureaucracy. And so my suggestion at this time would be that we go back to the basics, which in this case is the bylaws of ACA WSO, and look at what the bylaws are suggesting and requiring for the conference, and build on that when it comes to establishing more sustainable and viable
time
procedures for conducting a conference. Thank you.
Karen, and I'm going to jump to Amber. She hasn't spoken yet. Amber, WEB0796.
Thank you. My name is Amber. I'm an adult child. I represent one of the secular meetings in ACA. Regarding burnout, I have been attending annual business conferences and quarterly delegate meetings as long as the delegate meetings have been around, and 4 years for the ABCs as a delegate. And it's, for me, what contributes to my burnout is a lack of feeling of efficacy. For example, when the quarterly delegate meetings are primarily reports and less opportunities for delegates to actually engage with each other, that has improved. I want to note, the last one was fantastic. This one also shaping up to be great. Please keep up the good work with that. My participation is what makes it worthwhile for me to be here and what helps to combat my sense of burnout.
Thank you, Amber. And Stefan. IG-630, Stefan.
Hold on, I got muted again. I want to discuss the participation in the Los Angeles area. We have three meetings that I know of that don't even want to register with WSO. They just want to be completely independent. They want to be I wonder if too much stress has been put on each meeting is autonomous. Because those three meetings don't even want to register. And then there's many others that that I'm having trouble getting involved in an intergroup or whatever. They just want to order books and have their meetings and be left alone. And I wonder, as much as conferences is very important, whether we're putting too much on the top of the boat, and whether we're going to flip it because we don't have the resources. We need to go back to the meeting level and the membership level and figure out why people don't want to participate. And is that
Gentle
because
time.
We're, thank you. Is that because we're getting too top heavy? It's just a question.
Thank you. Do you want to respond to that, Charlie?
Or Josh? I can, Charlie's on mute. He's trying to, but I can say, I think one way I personally think about this is just my personal opinion. So I'm not trying to speak for anybody. This is just Josh. There's certain, I just heard the term top heavy. I think there are certain functions in world service. There's certain functions that are best handled in a centralized fashion. And there's other functions that might be better handled in a decentralized fashion. And I think, again, this is just my personal opinion, this idea of the conference coming into its own and the potential of conference committees potentially being on the horizon, the conference side of the house feels to me the stuff that might be better handled in a decentralized, distributed fashion. And the centralized stuff might be better handled by the WSO. Again, just my personal two cents. Charlie, I think you might want to say something.
Well, so our time technically is up for this section. We can do another 5 minutes. The end time would be 8:30.
I'd like to ask for the 5 minutes, Carmen, if we can, but I'd like to shift over to voting on some questions we put forward just so we have something tangible to consider. But I just want to say, I think the whole trend over the last year or two with these studies, and sometimes they feel slow, has been to move much more in the direction of a fellowship, true voice through the conference into World Service Affairs. So I think all of these efforts are moving in a right direction. But what we're trying to do is make sure that the conference, as Amber said, is an inviting place that people want to come to and share their thinking, so that we truly have a global group conscience. So with that, I'm hoping Josh and I can put just a very few questions for shows of hands, if that is agreeable.
Well, can we take two more questions?
We can, but then the time will be up for the voting, because I think it'll take about 3 or 4 minutes. So I think it's a choice of the chairs.
What do you think, Carmen?
I'll defer to you, William.
We could ask the delegates.
Yeah, could ask the delegates too.
We could. Both of them may take 5 minutes. It's up to you, William.
Marcus, 102, California 1020. You're muted, Marcus.
Yes, I think I really feel the fundamental question on sustainability and almost like delegate driven, any of this, is the problem of service of the seventh tradition. We're self-supporting through our own voluntary contributions. That really what will solve all these problems is not essentially the structures, but it's the participation. If we as delegates are participating, we can participate in every single one of these committees. If you want something on the agenda, come to the ABC committee. You can join the ABC committee. There are any of these committees you can join. And that's the essence, is the participation. That's what makes it democratic. And that's what, you know, is going to be able to sustain this. When I came in, I was on the ABC committee. It ended up like I was kind of like.
That's gentle time.
Thank you. Please.
TX come to the committees. Denise?
Hi. Yes, Marcus hit on what I was wanting to say, because it is all about participation. We have a board of trustees that you know, they're treading water, and all of our committees are short members. It's important to participate. You can't expect a few people to do everything and then it's like you're not doing it right. It takes all of us. And the first thing I actually wanted to say was, when I voted to go to vote for a quarterly delegate meeting, it was to extend the meeting, because we had so many proposals that we didn't have time to discuss and vote on them all. So to me, voting in the quarterly, I mean, it's like we haven't really fulfilled what we agreed to do. So I'm glad. Thanks.
Charlie, you want to take it for a vote?
Yeah, if we could, just about 3 votes. Josh, could I ask you which one do you want to start about on voting at meetings?
Yes.
Why don't you go ahead and start with that one?
Okay, so just to be clear, What we're doing right now is just like a straw poll. It's not like a real vote. We're just trying to get a sense of the temperature in the room because that will help inform the recommendations that go in the report from the sustainability group to the 2025 ABC. So this is not anything binding. We're not doing we're just taking a straw poll temperature in the room thing just before we get started, okay? And I think I just want to be before we start. I think are we doing this by raising hands Brad L, are you counting? I just want to make
Brad,
sure.
Brad L will be doing the counting.
Yes, I'm counting, Josh.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you so much. Okay, so the first question on the table, and I can screen share this if it's helpful. Somebody let me know. But the first question is, are you? Sort of, we're going to do like maybe like raise your hand if you're for, and then maybe raise your hand if you're against. So two pieces for each one. The first one is, you know, whether there should be voting at the QDMs, or let me say, to Kelly's point, non-ABC business meetings of the conference. Okay. So should there be voting? So please raise your hand if you are in favor of there being voting. QDMs or whatever they are in the future.
Josh, I think I saw some heads nod to share the question on screen.
Oh, okay. Can do that. These are, can you guys see this? Let me blow this up. Oops, that's making it smaller. Let's do this. So we're doing this one first.
Okay, I'm seeing that there are 70 votes. Josh and Charlie, I wanted to clarify that only delegates should be voting.
Yeah, correct.
Yes, yes.
Okay, thank you for that. Mm-hmm. I'm seeing a total of 71. I'm going to go ahead and clear that vote.
Okay, so let's
just call that a solid majority and not worry about the no votes.
What is our denominator?
I think we're over our quorum, which was 63 or 64 earlier. So it's clearly significant.
If we're over our, I think it's important.
Ignore my suggestion.
If any delegate here is against the idea or opposed to the idea of having voting at QDMs or non-ABC business meetings of the conference, please raise your hand now. I am currently seeing 3. Oh, but I'm letting Brad do the counting.
I'm seeing 4.
Yeah.
Okay, so it was 70, what?
70,
71?
Yeah.
71, 4. Okay.
Okay, I'm clearing off feedback.
Okay. So the next question on the table, again, we're going to do the same thing. Do one round for yes, one round for no, or for against. Okay. Next question is whether or not going forward, you know, there should be new business at the QDMs or non-ABC meetings of the conference. So please raise your hand if you're in favor of there being new business at the QDMs or non-ABC business meetings of the conference.
And this is voting on new business, correct?
Yeah.
Please use your raised hand instead of an emoji. Thank you.
It's actually to clarify, whether we should be able to handle new business. Business. No business can even come to the table.
Yeah.
I'm seeing 55.
Okay.
Right. So if we could, not 955, 55. Okay. Anybody opposed to the idea that new business could come to the table at QDMs or non-ABC business meetings of the conference?
Okay, I'm seeing 9.
Okay. So procedurally, I'm seeing, a difference in these numbers, which means there's abstentions happening. And we're not actually counting abstentions right now, but this is a straw poll, so I'm not too concerned about it. But if somebody else is, we can talk about that. Okay. So, other last one. This is we have this suggestion, right? We're to clarify. We're leaning towards making a suggestion at our report to the ABC in May that we try as a provisional practice for like a year, not forever, but let's try it on for size, kind of thing. The idea of doing one ABC and two non-ABC meetings, business meetings of the conference, at 6.5 hours apiece for the non-ABC ones. So we're just trying to get a sense of how people feel about that potential suggestion.
Yeah,
So if
basically,
you're
it's three meetings instead of four a year, but the all the meetings would be a little bit longer than the QDMs are right now.
In favor of that idea, please raise your hand.
Okay, remember to please use your hand and not emojis. I'm counting 30. Just wait another couple seconds here. I'm counting 36.
All right. Now, if you're opposed to the idea of what we're talking about is reducing the number but increasing the length, please raise your hand.
Okay, I'm counting 21.
Okay, so that's more divided. Okay, great. I think that concludes our discussion, and my thanks to everybody for, and particularly the co-chairs for giving us a little extra time. This will be very helpful as we do our bring our report in May.
Right. Thank you. We will go to the next section, conference policy and procedures. So we will.
Sorry, Chairman, for interrupting. There's a point of order. I referred it over to the point of order. There was something that came through, and their hand is up for point of order. My apologies.
Okay. Point of order.
Yeah, just that under Robert's rules of order, straw polls aren't allowed. Like maybe there could be an explanation of why that is the case, at least.
I think
Thanks.
we gave that. We said we're trying to take the temperature of the room.
No, that's not what I'm addressing this to the chairs and the parliamentarian, Josh, please.
Yes. So let me read a statement, and then we'll also include it in the minutes. That the straw poll, what it was a non-binding straw poll for committee direction. Non-binding straw poll for committee direction, and that will need to be included in the minutes. So for best clarity, thank you. All right, so we will go to the next section. Conference policy and procedures will be me and Josh. We'll try to get through it as fast as we can to allow for the most discussion. We may shorten this section, a little bit, but we'll see how it goes.
How long
And
do
I
you want
will.
me to time for?
Can you time for 30 minutes?
Yep.
And then
Thank
we can
you.
kind of see where we are. Thank you.
Okay, conference policy and procedures. So at the December QDM, for everyone that was there,
It was noted a couple of things. One was that the current policy and procedures that govern this conference are housed in a document known as the OPPM, and that stands for Operating Policy and Procedures Manual. Now, this document contained both operations for both the board and the annual business conference. This is different from other 12-step programs where they are actually where they are separate documents. Per the bylaws, the OPPM can only be changed by the board. So this means that per the OPPM, or for the bylaws, that both changes to operations of the board and the annual business conference can only be made by the board. So after, prior to December, but reiterated in December, the board stated that any changes to the conference policy and procedure section of the OPPM will need conference approval moving forward. So there were, we did do breakout rooms in December asking the following questions. One question was, should delegates or should the conference have the final say about policy and procedures of the conference? What role do delegates want to play in maintaining that? And should it be, should these changes be implemented right away or not? So I just wanted to do a couple of, so some notes from the breakout rooms. And I do acknowledge that we did not have all the notes from the breakout rooms. So one is delegates want more ownership over the conference policy and procedures. And that was very consistently said. Two, delegates had various ways about how to take more ownership over conference policy and procedures. And three, most delegates felt that conference policy and procedures should be a separate document, but that was not unanimous. So just some notable comments from the secretary notes. One was a statement, before we make big changes, we need to focus on capacity and consideration of how many volunteers we have and coordinate all of that. Another comment, form a conference committee at the February QDM and let them work out the details. Separate the documents and let the WSO committee and the conference committee work together on the details. Another comment, a separate document will just be duplicating work. And then another comment, there was overwhelming agreement in that group that conference should be consulted and have the final say before any changes are made. So what was the summary from December? QDM, delegates want more ownership of the conference policy and procedures. So given that that is clear and consistent, where do we go from here to make that happen? Am I doing this slide, Josh?
I think we were saying this one would be me.
Perfect. But, okay, I'll give it over to you.
Okay. And just to be clear, this is a high-level summary of the motions. There's also a document posted in the agenda, which we can also screen share if people would like, which is going into the full detail of these motions and some more background on them. But just to talk through it at a high level, we're talking about, okay, what are the relevant motions passed by the conference already that might impact all of this, right? Has there been direction from the conference already? So prior group conscience decisions have tasked the ABC study, which is a subcommittee of the ABC committee, which is under WSO, with studying and recommended changes to the conference. The first one was from 2022, and it was about in-depth study of ABC and AWC structures, created an ABC committee, that is a WSO ABC committee, to coordinate an in-depth and inclusive study regarding possible changes to the ABC and at that time, the AWC, okay? That was the first one. Second one came in 2023, which was to approve extending that study, which was established in the prior motion, to provide recommendations without limitation, including drafting a charter for the conference, recommending changes in other areas, depending on availability of adequate resources, and some other stuff, you know, that, you know, separating the ADSWC, that's not so relevant here, but also the delegates will receive regular updates until the study is completed, right? And then the next one in 2024, quarterly delegates
meeting. So that there was a piece of business in the QDM tasked the ABC study to report to the 2025 ABC on the appropriate number of delegate meetings, strategies for maintaining volunteer support, and models to optimize the meeting's value and delegate experience. So that motion is said to the ABC study, please give a report at the 2025 ABC, which is the report Charlie and I are talking about getting in delegate input for on today. So reminder, we're allowed to change our minds. Past conference decisions can be changed by motion, right? So this is we're just saying this is the direction we received at this point. So guiding principles. Again, we're talking about, this is about the idea of the conference policy and procedures, the policy and procedures that relate to the conference. So guiding principles, number one, any changes in conference policy and procedures should be approved by the conference itself. Okay. Any procedures for that, or for coming to changes, should align with the traditions and the concepts. And three, the process to develop conference policy and procedures should be transparent to the conference as a whole. Okay, next slide, please. Okay, so this is to me, this all leads up to this slide. So I know I mentioned before this saying that I've certainly heard around the rooms about, if there's no coffee maker, there's no coffee, The conference has clearly indicated that they want more ownership of the conference policy and procedures. And greater ownership means greater participation. They kind of go hand in hand. Greater authority means greater responsibility. They go hand in hand. So since the conference has clearly indicated they want more ownership over policy and procedures, that raises some significant questions. The first one is, well, what does the conference want here? What does the conference want this sort of transition plan to look like, right? How do we get there? By we, I mean the conference and the WSO and the fellowship. We're partners in this. And then the two big questions are, okay, so what's the transition plan? And which leads us to, who's going to develop that transition plan? And that last question, who's going to develop the transition plan, is the question for today. William, can you mute? And just again, just to establish clearly the state of play right now, where things are at based on prior conference past motions. Given those past motions, which we just reviewed, absent a past alternative conference motion, by default, the ABC study, currently via the sustainability study underneath that, will continue to study transition planning. We, sustainability, look forward to further conference guidance in May 2025 and participation from within the conference to achieve this transition. So what that basically means is, based on what you guys have already told us, we feel the sustainability study feels that the developing this transition plan falls in our court. But if that's not what you want, please tell us. Yeah.
Right. And I'm going to put the questions in the chat so that everyone has them. And feedback from delegates. Okay, 005A, Brad H.
You're on mute, Brett.
Thank you. In almost every legislative body and every political organization, the work that is done is not done in the full meeting of the congressional body. It's done in committee work. So I think a formation of a conference committee to study a transition plan would be the way to go. That conference could certainly consult with the WSO, and the delegates are already supposed to be consulting with their meetings and their groups. So a conference-led conference committee to develop a transition plan and present it to the conference for adoption. That's my recommendation.
Thank you. And I'm going to go to Pam M. since I hasn't spoken.
Yeah. There's two ways that I know of to affect transition. One of them is you do the entire comprehensive plan for a transition, and then you implement it. And the other is you start a conference committee and let the conference, the delegates, actually work with that model so that they can actually create what is needed to stand up a conference committee and thereby stand up the entire conference. Thank you.
Thank you. And I just want to take a moment to new delegates or anyone who hasn't spoken, if you would like to raise your hand to speak at this time.
Feel free to say, like, what the heck do you mean by blah, 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 if you're feeling confused.
All right, perfect. Got a couple hands. I'll get these two and then go back through the line. WEB0766D.
Hi, everyone. Thank you for your service. In terms of, what does the conference want? It sounds to me, from my perspective, that you know, I feel like we're getting a lot into the minutiae of like who owns this and who owns that. From my perspective, anyone who's willing to do the work should just go ahead and do it, because I know that not all ACAs have capacity to be volunteering on multiple levels. So I think that the plan should be developed by the Sustainability Committee because it already exists. If y'all want to transition that over to a conference committee versus a WSO committee, that sounds good too. But I don't know, I just feel like we're getting a lot into these, a lot of politics, rather than just dealing with the business at hand. So I think either way, if we could just get something moving. Thanks.
Thank you. And NC0118, Lynn.
Thank you. Thank you everyone for your time. I had a comment before and wasn't allowed to voice my comment. And that is, I give service back to my meeting as you all do. We're very limited in what we can do. I feel also that there is a lot of minutiae that I want to bring back the thoughts and share them with my meeting so that I can get the group conscience, so that I can share it with you. But I don't feel that the process, as it is currently, the structure is set up that way. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And then I will go back through the list. TEL0341, Kelly.
Thank you. I was curious that the term conference committee wasn't used in Josh and Carmen's presentation, which I feel like that has repeatedly come up when these questions have been asked in the past year. So conference committee, and I think it would be great if one of you guys, maybe Josh, could really explain what that means, that it's an entity, it's a group of delegates that are operating alongside WSO, but not under the same organizational structure. They're organized themselves to take on a lot of the responsibility that WSO keeps saying they need more volunteers for. And a conference committee, in my opinion, can start with five people. There's a lot of committees in WSO that barely have five people. So, and there have been volunteers for that, just to start. Not to be able to take over and change everything overnight, but a starting point. So that has repeatedly
been time.
a suggestion. Thank you.
Thank you.
Shall I respond
and
to
we
that?
Wanted you can. Do you want to take a minute to respond?
Yeah, I was asked a direct question, so so conference committees, what the heck does that mean? So conference committees are a thing in other fellowships is my starting point. Like if you look at AA, they've got to establish conference committee structure. The basic idea is that just like the WSO has its own committees, the conference itself can have its own set of committees. And many times what happens is there's like corresponding committees from the WSO and the conference, and they interact with each other. They're not working in total isolation. There's a relationship there, but they each, both the conference and the WSO, have their own committee systems. And so that's, again, that's a thing.
That's time.
In existing in other 12-step programs and could be on our horizon if the conference so chooses.
Thank you. CA1020 Marquez.
Yeah, I really feel that the fellowship and the delegates have spoken several times on this question, and that's the existing, actually, conference-developed committees. The ABC study, all of these are motions out of the conference. And essentially, they're a conference committee as far as the structures that we have right now to support it. We develop a separate conference committee. There's no structure for the support of that at this point. That's part of what we're developing in the ABC study and the sustainability study. And that's how the conference has been saying that we need to reorganize the ABC. That's what it came out of. Look at those motions, and you can see the development of that. The essence of it, to me, again, is participation. Please come to these committees, and we can develop procedures.
Gentle
out of the
time.
Out of the existing situation. Just come and be part of it. Thank you.
IG 70, Karen.
Thank you. I just want to remind everybody that Tradition 9 states ACA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. So the conference has the ability, if a vote is brought before the conference and there are volunteers stepping up to form a conference committee, the conference has the ability to establish such a conference committee with a very simple vote. It does not require any kind of overhead or structural decision making ahead of time. The conference has the ability to do it. Thank you.
And CA1331 Zoe.
Thank you to the committee members for your service. I know it's a lot of work. I'm in favor of continuing the existing committees with the keeping the goal in mind of creating conference committees in the future when we have more resources and more capacity, more volunteers, and recruiting can be done during that time. But what I also wanted to say is I wonder if we could try to apply more recovery principles to our business meetings and decisions as far as removing the intense time pressure from the equation, the urgency factor, which I've learned in recovery is not healthy for me, that we take our time to explore issues and not try to force solutions. And lastly, that as a fellowship, maybe we're just trying to do too much. And that we could look at that and not try to do so much at one time. Thank you.
Thank you. WEB0590, Patricia.
Hey, I just want to say that right now it's very confusing to me because I came in and joined a couple of committees to do some actual work as a volunteer. And somehow these are all being now sort of downgraded as, oh, these are WSO committees, so they're not, we really have to have a conference committee. And I look around at all the these groups that are so-called WSO committees, and 9/10 of those people are here as delegates today. The so-called WSO committees are doing the work of the conference, whether you call them that or not. And it concerns me that we're talking about creating duplicate ones, the conference committee versus the WSO committee that might work together. No thanks.
Thank you. WEB 1030, Mary Beth.
Hi, again, thank everyone for their service. I'm saying this out of a sense of frustration and trying to deal with my own feelings about constantly being on the cusp about my commitment to ACA and a personal feeling of I want to shut this off and leave now. It seems that part of that con It constantly seems like we're trying to reinvent the wheel. The organization has been here for 70 years. We will not have a perfect organization. Can we identify whatever the irreconcilable differences are and maybe deal with those? That's all. Again, thank you very, very much for all the work that's been done.
Thank you. And I'm going to call on someone I don't think has spoken. MN156, Sharon. MN156, Sharon. Would you like to speak?
Whoops, sorry, now can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Sorry about that. So yes, this is what keeps coming up for me is I'm hearing the frustration and the minutiae and the time that we're taking. And what comes up for me is that there's a heaviness of yeah, okay, we got to do this, but there's no fun in this. And so one that what keeps coming up for me is what is working within all of our groups nationwide? Wouldn't that be fun to know is what is working for you in your group? Can we bring that and expand it within WSO? For example, the TNT, Brian, you're doing the study group, the Thursday night traits. That, if there was a way we could take
Gives you
something
until
that's
time.
working, and because there's excitement behind these study groups, and take some, get it exciting, get it fun. Anyway, that's all I got.
Thank you. And VA092 Charlie.
Thanks. First off, I totally hear frustration and I understand. I knew this year was going to be a drag. A year ago, or at least last May, there was a motion just saying, let's just cut these meetings down to two a year. And I think a number of us thought there's major, major things that need doing that we need to get through. And so I believe after May, delegates are going to have an opportunity to start voting on, okay, let's resolve this one, this one, this one, this one. So, like, what's felt like a year-long to-do list will finally start being able to getting some of those to done. I will say the thing about committee structure, I'm really looking forward to the discussion on that in May. The one thing I would say, whether they're conference committees, which I am not objecting to, they've done in other fellowships, the kind of committees we have right now. They have to be accountable to the conference. They have to be transparent, and there has to be a meaningful interaction. I think the growth of the conference has actually been a fantastic thing. We had 20 the first one I came to. We got a lot more now.
Gentle time.
Thanks. But making sure we, whatever we do is accountable to this body, will ultimately serve the fellowship and it will get more fun. Pass.
Thank you. And I'll end with these two people. WEB 381 Pam. Oh, I'm sorry,
Yeah,
Pam,
hi.
you already spoke, correct? You already spoke once regarding
Oh,
this.
yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did you speak on at this section
I don't
already?
know.
Okay.
I don't know.
I don't remember either, so go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to say that, you know, there's no friction. The conference committee versus the WSO committee, they perform different functions in relationship and in support of one another. And there's no them versus us. For instance, if you wanted to divide literature and it would be a conference between the two committees as to who takes what on, but for literature, for example, WSO has the money and they have the personnel, so maybe they take on publishing and distribution, which they already do, and maybe they turn over the call for literature and the priority and getting input on priorities of literature from the fellowship, and maybe they evaluate the literature and make some
Gentle
recommendations
time.
to the conference. And in doing so, you drop half the load that's already overstressing the WSO committee, and
Okay, Pam,
the
it's
other
time.
committee gets
Thank you.
very excited. Thank you.
All right, and IL-139, Nick.
Yeah, I'll just say that anything we can do, I think, to just kind of simplify what we're doing and streamline the processes, I think will probably take some of the edge off too with some of this. So appreciate everything everybody's doing. I'm super new to this, but grateful to be here. And I'm hoping that hopefully we can just simplify things and make it easier. I think that'll help make it a little bit of a lighter load for everyone.
All right, thank you, Nick. And we will, and thank you everyone for the feedback for this section. The next section will be a presentation from the Charter Group, and I will turn it over to William.
Hi, everyone. I'd like our next report will be from Kaz, representing the ABC Study Subcommittee. Kaz?
How much time shall I put on the timer, please?
Raise your hand.
20 minutes.
Thank you.
15 minutes. 15 minutes. I'm sorry.
15, thank you.
There we go. Finally unmuted. Okay. Could someone please do us all a favor? I cannot see it on screen, but please share the ABC report. As you noted in a prior discussion just a couple of minutes ago, the ABC committee was designed to address several issues, including and what has primarily been that work, the possibility for having a charter. And we are now, oh, look, it's beginning to be shared, I think. I'm not seeing it yet, but there we go. And so we were asked to make regular reports. We haven't probably made them as regularly as we ought, but we thought now was incredibly important to let you folks know that we have been working hard on the creation of a charter and certain results have been created. So if you'll go down to, let's just skip all of this stuff about background motions, status update. All right. We have, first of all, taken a look at eight other 12-step program charters. The obvious big guys, AA, Al-Anon, and then many, many other charters. We then broke those down and compared them by topic. They don't have the identical numbering. So that took some, or and they don't have identical wording. So that took some analysis, but we did break them down by topic and compare. And we started with the first section, which is what is the purpose of a charter? We were, after a long, long discussion, conversation over many, many meetings, able to reach substantial unanimity regarding language, which we're not presenting for a vote today, but the language is there on the screen. And the report is also in your conference QDM material and on the website, which is noted at the top of this report for the particular committee. It is noted that the provisions are, wait a minute, please, that the provisions are traditional, and that is to acknowledge that the charter is not a legal document. It is merely guidance, but it should be truly guiding how the conference would operate in relationship to WSO. Now, next on section two, what is the purpose of the conference itself? This took even more discussion, and we have what we believe is substantial agreement on this particular paragraph. You'll note material in red on the screen. Pardon those for who might have a difficulty in seeing red. Hopefully it will show up where there are brackets. We will be taking a look at, and thank you for the highlighting, we will be taking another look at all of these sections after we finish going through the entire document at least once, so that we say, okay, now that we started out with substantial agreement and have discussed the rest of the material, are there any changes that need to be made to make sure everything is consistent? So these things that are marked in red will be looked at again because they are remaining issues to be finalized. The most difficult section so far and the most lengthy conversation so far has to do with, well, what is the conference composed of? Who is in it? And let's go down to this. Okay, we have some points where we're basically aligned. And they're principles, essentially. One person gets one vote only in a conference business meeting. One person gets only one role at a business meeting. So that, for instance, at the moment, it is possible for one delegate to represent a local group and also represent an intergroup and potentially even represent a region. And our point of agreement is that that's too much. They would only get one vote, and how would they make the decision? Let's not give them all three positions. If you want to vote for a group and a region and an intergroup, they need to be different people. The next list is questions that have been subject to the most strenuous discussion, and they are still under discussion. Who should vote? Well, it might seem obvious, delegates. And the question is, which delegates? In other 12-step programs, local groups do not get a vote directly. And ours does. Ours also allows intergroups and regions to vote. That's today. How should it be created and formatted in the future? The next question. Most 12-step groups allow trustees to vote. Currently, they do not vote in ACA. And is there a difference between trustees, like the chair and vice chair or so forth and so on? The next question, what about senior paid staff? That is allowed in some 12-step groups. And what about committee chairs? Again, those potentially could have votes. And then the question is also, well, what about alternates if the chair can't or doesn't desire to be a delegate? What about other members of committees? Right now, we're just looking at committee chairs. So those are the issues that are still up for debate. And what we're hoping today is to have people make comments in the remaining time. I hope this has been kept to a short presentation. We have been able to continue operating despite the fact that our past chair resigned, and we still haven't decided whether we're going to continue rotating chairs or whether we'll have a permanent chair. But nonetheless, we've kept operating. And of course, as everybody else says, we'd love to have more volunteers. We are absolutely open to volunteers. That's how I got on this particular committee. I just stood up as a delegate, said, hey, I'm interested in this issue. I want to be involved. And that's all it took. Some consistency of attendance is required for voting in the committee. But if you attend a committee meeting, you can always speak. And with that, I will turn over to the chairs to allow them to call on anyone who wishes to comment. Thank you.
Thank you, Kaz. And Jim, how much time do we have left?
6 minutes and 15.
Okay. If you can keep your questions short, everybody, please. Region 5, Northeast U.S., Josh.
Thanks, Kaz, for the presentation. Right now I'm speaking as a member of this study group. Just a point of clarification, the thing about one person, one role is not so much about whether one person can represent, you know, multiple groups or a group and an intergroup. That's, I believe, already not possible today. What we're talking about is the section below, we went through the different categories. Like, we have delegates, and then we have, board members, paid staff, committee chairs. Those are considered like different categories of possible people, you know, possible voting membership in the conference. And the idea of one person, one role is you can't, if that's true, which is we're agreeing on, then you couldn't have one person both be a delegate and be on the board. Kind of thing, and have a vote by both of those. It sort of goes along with the one person, one vote thing. So it's sort of like, of those categories, choose which one you belong to, and then we can talk about, you know, which one of those would get a vote. Just a point of clarification. Thanks.
Thank you, Josh. Are there any other questions or comments? WEB0766D.
Hi, I have a question, two questions actually. I'm not familiar with whether or not the trustees or the paid senior staff are the trustees usually people who are part representing a delegate, or they are, sorry, are the trustees are not paid? Look, I'm just a little bit confused about the organizational structure and who's what's what on the WSO side. Thank you.
And Brad, okay, 0058, Brad H.
Thank you. I was chair of this subcommittee for several months actually, and I resigned from being the chair of that subcommittee because progress was so slow, and I decided that I was not the right person to lead that subcommittee to its final destination. There are 12 sections in most 12-step group charters, And despite working on it for several months, we only completed preliminary work on two sections, and we're working on the third section. At that rate, it's going to take 2 or 3 years to develop a conference charter, and I think that's far too long. And I think a conference committee again would be helpful in completing that task in a timely manner. Thank you.
Thank you, Brad. And Kaz, would you like to answer Dee's question? In the meantime, we'll hear from IG70 West Great Lake. Karen?
My name is Karen. I'm a gratefully recovering adult child. Just for context, the need for a conference charter was originally identified by the WSO Service Structure or Service Network Committee in 2017. And then between 2017 and 2022, nothing happened in terms of making progress on that. So a number of delegates and their groups submitted a ballot proposal to create a conference committee for accomplishing this. And that did not make it onto the ABC agenda. However, the WSO took that on and incorporated it in the work of the ABC study group, which is, of course, huge progress in that respect. But I would like us to sort of keep in mind that in now 8 years working on this, WSO has not made any real progress on the issue. And I do find myself wondering whether this would be an issue more effectively addressed by a conference committee, as we suggested in 2022. Thank you.
Thank you, Karen. And VA092, Charlie.
Thanks. You're fine. You can't hear me. Okay, so I'm just sitting there making crazy gestures. So anyway, I would not. First off, I was the one who was part of the report suggesting this in 2017, and the delegates were very much in favor of a charter. It's a critical building block. We really got back to it, I would say, in earnest in 2023, and the conference actually authorized the committee that's working on it to do it. Has it gone as fast as it should? No, but it would not. I don't think it's right to sort of say, oh my God, what has happened in the last year will be the guide for everything going forward. We actually recently have changed our process, and we're really dealing with the fact that we don't have unanimous agreement on every point. And so I think we've kind of come up with a much more effective way of, let's just cut to the chase of what each side thinks about specific questions. I believe you'll get a much more meaningful report in May that will indicate this committee is moving.
Until time.
Yeah, thanks so much, Trey, at a much more rapid pace than we have been. Pass.
And Paz, would you like to address Dee's question about service structure?
Yes, briefly. Trustees are not paid. Trustees at the moment do not vote unless they are delegates as appointed by some body, such as a group or an intergroup. And so the question is, if we change who can vote, delegates, staff, committee chairs, then that raises the issue of whether you can vote with more than one position. And of course, as Josh noted, our consensus is no. Consistent with one person, one vote. And I will agree with Charlie. We have, in fact, made a substantial amount of progress in the last year and a half. I have no opinion on what happened prior to that. I wasn't involved at all, but we have made progress. Is it slow? Yes. Do I wish it were faster? Personally, yes. And my particular personal concern is that it is correct and, understandable by the conference when the delegates vote on it.
And that's the time for the section. Thank you.
Okay. So we're going to move on. And I'd like to introduce Kelly, who's going to represent our Concepts Ad Hoc Committee.
Is this also for 15 minutes?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Thank you.
Kelly, please raise your hand.
There we go. I was saying, unmute me. Okay, so can you guys screen share our report, please?
Yes, I will do it right now.
Thank you. Thanks, everyone, for being here. Thank you. Okay, so my name is Kelly. I have been a member of this particular ad hoc committee since its inception, which it was born out of a ballot proposal at the 2022 ABC. So the first, this top part just tells you when we meet. It tells you who the members are of the committee, and I'm not going to read that. I will read when we get down to ACA's 12 Concepts of Service, or 12 Statements of Principle, available on the adultchildren.org website and in the Big Red Book, that explain how the various pieces of World Service fit together. This includes the roles of the fellowship, the conference, the ACA World Service Organization, Board of Trustees, WSO committees, and WSO paid staff, and the general responsibilities of each. The original ballot proposal addressed Concept 2 and 6. Concept 2 discusses how the voice of the fellowship guides world service. Concept 6 discusses various roles of the conference and the Board of Trustees in world service and how those two entities interact. Can you please scroll further through the report? Okay, background. Again, I'm not going to read this. This starts with the 2022 motion. That's how we were born, this committee. It goes to the 2023, 2024 QDM up to last year's, the 2024 ABC motion. So this is what I'm focusing on today, is our status update current as of today. A huge reminder to everyone that Concept 2, at the 2025 ABC, we are going to be presenting this motion for the revision of Concept 2 to be voted on. We put that in our 2024 ABC motion, so it has been out there for groups to take back, or delegates to take back to their groups to discuss. This is what we are going to be presenting to be changed. This is the replacement concept. It reads as such: ACA groups delegate to the World Service Conference the authority to act as their effective voice and conscience and to represent the fellowship in world service matters. Just for reference, the current concept reads, authority for the active maintenance of our world services is hereby delegated to the actual voice, the effective conscience for our whole fellowship. We are going to be scheduling a second town hall in the month of March. The exact date we have not yet determined yet, to continue the review with the fellowship on this concept as worded. This will allow for much more time for your questions and comments prior to the 2025 ABC vote, because we're not going to get a whole lot of time today for that. Mm-hmm. We did have a first town hall. We held one on September 7th of 2024. At two times, 1 p.m. and 9 p.m. to sort of accommodate different time zones. And we got a lot of feedback on this particular revision on Concept 2. That's what we'll be looking for at the second town hall. If this recommendation for revision 2 passes at the 2025 ABC, we believe this change needs to go out to worldwide fellowship voting. We're going to ask to hear more about that at the second town hall from the delegates. And then As that decision becomes clearer to the committee, we may add an additional motion at the 2025 ABC to include this process for the final approval of the change. Concept six, this brings us to concept six. We presented our draft language for concept six at the 2024 ABC. Based on the delegate feedback, we are exploring ways to make concept six shorter and perhaps clearer. So I am going to read what we currently are working on. Please keep in mind, this is a rough draft. It's not being presented as recommendation at this time, but this is where we are with it. I'm going to read this. The World Service Organization is a service arm of the conference, parentheses, of delegates, and the WSO board functions as a trusted servant of the conference. By tradition, the conference has the final decision on large matters of policy and finance in World Service matters, as determined by the conference. The conference has the right to, may, specify of the board whatever transparency and other support communication it needs to conduct an informed group conscience. The conference recognizes that WSO has primary administrative and operational authority in World Service matters. The board, its committees, and special workers may use their initiatives and discernment in carrying out WSO obligations, implementing conference directives, and making recommendations for conference consideration. So moving forward, we will continue, we as in the committee, the concept study ad hoc committee, will continue our focus on concept two and concept six to its completion before we branch out to address the extended scope of this committee, which is to review and consider updates to the remaining concepts for possible revisions, and to make recommendations to better integrate the concepts into the World Service Organization and the World Service Conference. We do have a PowerPoint that goes into a lot more detail that we presented at the 2024 ABC. You can find that on our website, which we have listed here. So we're going to open it up for questions and comments, and I'm going to invite the other members of this committee to jump in on any comments or questions. Yeah, that's it for me. Thank you.
And how much time is left, Jim?
9 minutes.
Okay. Point of order, CA-1020, Marcus.
Yes, I feel I just wanted to make a comment on the concept two. I feel that the wording should have ACA groups actively delegate to World Service Conference the authority. It links the fellowship, the actual meetings, the fellowship to the conference. For example, the way that the proposals are done at this point. I feel it's important to have active in there because that keeps the fellowship linked to the conference. Also, I would like to see some kind of like a summation or a report of the feedback so that that's available to the delegates as a report so that we know what people have said at the town halls. Thank you.
Thank you, Marcus. IG-595, Kaz.
Only available to respond to questions. No comment.
Okay, thanks. Are there any other questions or comments? Josh.
Yeah,
Region 5.
Yeah, I'm speaking as a member of the study as well, and I would just say, and this is maybe a prompt, but I think it might help delegates here. Kelly, could you comment on like what the big idea is in the change to concept two?
Sure. Do you want me to speak to that now?
That is my request.
Okay, so if you look at the current concept, I don't know if we can pull that back up so you all can see Would you put the report back up so we can look at it, please, Carmen? Okay, go to, yeah, all right. So the current concept reads, authority for the active maintenance of our world services is hereby delegated to the actual voice, comma, the effective conscience for our whole fellowship. So the big question was, well, who is the actual voice? Delegated to the actual voice, which is who? So the obvious elephant in the room to us seemed to be, well, it's the conference of delegates, not the conference as an event, the ABC, but like we are today, the body, the service body of delegates. We are here representing our groups, which is the fellowship, and that's the actual voice. So somehow we needed to get into this concept, what we're presenting, which is the groups delegate to the World Service Conference, us delegates, the authority to vote on issues. So that was what really needed to be inserted into the current concept. I hope that answers your question, Josh, and makes it a little clearer to folks that we were missing the conference as the authority, and they are representing the groups in ACA. Thank you.
May I add, Kaz here?
Go ahead, Kaz.
Thank you. The added thing is to note that it says in this proposal, is hereby delegated, which is to say that by virtue of the concept itself, which is at all times active, this delegation is effective at all times. We're not looking back to a past decision that might have been made at one time and might be subject to controversy or criticism. This is an ongoing delegation. Henceforth, to go forward into the future without end, unless the concept itself is changed, subject to whatever processes the conference and the fellowship as a whole agree to pass.
Thank you, Kaz. And WSO, point of order, Sue?
Point of info, but I'm not talking from that point. I'm also a member of this concept study.
Okay.
And I want to thank my fellow members because this is important work. It may be very dry to people here, but this is very important, foundational in our relationship between the fellowship, the conference, and World Services. We are doing these town hall or larger meetings, if that doesn't translate well, to two different time zones so that it's completely inclusive. And we have, I just posted the web link there to add your information. If you can't attend the committee, if you can't attend the town halls, we do want to hear from you. And we're trying to find a way of simply putting these concepts together so that they're easily understood to everybody who speaks English, but they're easily translated and understood by the over 30 languages that we have in over 69 countries. So please help us, and thank you all for your service. With that, I'll pass.
Charlie?
Thank you. Yeah. You know, we heard earlier the ACA is 47 years old, but really and truly, I know 10 years ago, the conference was still a very small part, which meant there was an organization operating, there was a fellowship out there, and not a lot of connection. In the other fellowships, starting with AA and Al-Anon, the concepts really explain something. We all understand when we pick a group chair, we know who picked the group chair. Why does he have the keys to open up the church door? Because the group chose him. This is kind of doing the same thing on a world level. And every trusted servant should be able to say, What's my authority? Who gave me that authority? So the changes basically will be saying the fellowship, the groups are choosing, basically authorizing the conference to be their spokesman. And then because of that, the conference now, when we get to six and finish that, will be able to say, we have the last word on large policy and finance, but then there are other authorities that go to the board. But by the time the concepts get cleaned up, hopefully we
1 minute
can.
remaining.
Thanks. It'll build trust for everybody because we can all answer the question, who gave you the authority to do that? So it is dry, but it's when it's done, it will be a big deal for everybody. Pass.
Thank you, Charlie. And OK0058, Brad.
Thank you. I think it's extremely important for delegates to recognize that the 12 concepts for world service for ACA is foundational. It needs to precede the conference charter. In my view, the 12 concepts are to ACA as a whole what the traditions are to the ACA groups and what the 12 steps are to the individual adult child seeking recovery. This is foundational, and it's very, very important that the delegates and their groups understand the purpose of those concepts. Thank you.
And that's time. Thank you.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I forgot to mention that we do have an open Slack channel. Anybody can drop questions or anything in there. You can email us. But I hope to see you all for a lot more in depth at the town hall, which hopefully we have that time and date within the next couple of weeks out to you all. Thank you.
Thank you, Kelly. And now for preparation for 2020-25 ABC. Carmen?
Yeah. All right. So the 2025 ABC will be coming up in May.
Excuse me.
This time minutes should be fine.
Thanks.
Thank you. We are always looking for volunteers. You can be, if outside of being a conference facilitator, you can be a delegate and a volunteer. We will need timers, point of information, point of order, couple of different volunteers. So we just want to plant that seed now that we are going to be looking for volunteers. You will need to register for the 2025 ABC. So you will need to register again. All delegates will need to register again. The conference webpage, please continue to look at the conference webpage. Information will continually be uploaded there. And be watching out for emails because we will be sending email communications as well. The ballot proposals are, as most people know, available. I'll just share my screen. So the voting will be available starting February 15th and will close April 7th. There is some town halls that will be held at various times. This information is also available on the conference webpage under 2025 ABC ballot information. I also wanted to mention that there will be an optional open forum from 1 o'clock to 1:45. Various committees will be present, and delegates can ask questions to any of those committees. And that will be after the QDM, and it is totally optional. It is a new format that we're trying, so we'll be interested in getting information about how delegates felt that that went. One last update. I'm going to bring it up. Here we go. Okay. So there will be a debriefing. Half the meeting will be for debriefing. The other half will be just some music, just to debrief, have fun after this QDM. It'll be on February 6th, 8:30 to 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The DJ will be Delegate Rich. And again, everyone is welcome. Just a time to debrief, celebrate that we finished another QDM and moving on to the ABC. This will be posted in Slack and on the conference webpage. Delegate engagement is aware that delegates want to interact and have more fun at these meetings. So if any delegates have any ideas about different things that we can do, can always reach out to me by Slack or send an email to the ABC email. And last but not least, I'm going to turn it over to Denise. I believe she has an announcement. Denise, can you raise your hand?
Oh, raise react, raise hand. Hi. So, hi, I'm Denise. I'm wearing three hats today. Right now, I'm wearing my chair of the nominating committee hat. I was also point of information, and I'm a delegate. But now we're nominating committee. So, we would like to introduce all of the delegates our concern for board fitness input process. This process provides members to present their concerns about a board member to the nominating committee. By providing specific details throughout the year, but at least 2 months prior to the trustee ratification at the ABC, it will allow us sufficient time to investigate. An investigation will be done using the factual information provided in the concerns form, and if needed, the investigation will be expanded. The nomination committee believes that our concerns process of vetting factual information is superior to the current practice process of a minority opinion. After researching four of the major 12-step fellowships, AA, Al-Anon, Narcotics Anonymous, and SLA, Sex and Love Addicts Anonymous, we found that none of them have a minority process. We will post in the chat the concern for board fitness input, our research, and our web page address. On our web page, you'll find our current trustees' service board bios, who will all need to be ratified at the 2025 ABC in May. And it also has the desired qualifications and the applications for board service in the nominating committee. And I will put that in chat now. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. And then I will go ahead and turn it over to William, who will do a couple more announcements.
Yep. In closing, I'd like to thank all of our volunteers who kept this meeting running as smoothly as possible, and I'd like to thank everyone who attended today. We are the voice of the conference. Please remember that we have our annual business meeting conference on May 13th, 18th and 19th. If it's not already in your calendar, please put it in. And let's close the meeting with a serenity prayer. May I have a volunteer to lead us out?
Just before that, William, I think the conference is May 17th and 18th, but it all depends on your time zone. So just qualifying that. Thanks.
Thank
Thought I
you.
heard May 18th and 19th.
And final thoughts from any delegates before we close?
Did we mention the AWC?
Nope.
Oh, because they have a really, really pretty flyer. I'll bring it up. I think it's very nice. There we go. All right. Adelina or Marion, I know you guys are really involved in this. Do you guys want to just take a minute to talk about the AWC or opportunities to volunteer?
Adelina's hands up. And then we have a question from Mary Beth.
Yes, hi everyone. Adelina here. I coordinate the annual World Convention planning team, and this year annual World Convention will continue to be online around the clock. It starts on Friday, April the 4th, and it ends on Saturday, April the 5th, wherever you are in the world, maybe it's 5 and 6. And Carmen, when you share the screen, can you please lower a little bit so that everybody can see the theme of this year's convention is feeling is healing, processing trauma in AC through reparenting and working the 12 steps. And we are going to have incredible presentations. The team is in the process of interviewing the applicants and reviewing the applications. We are extremely excited. The registration for the convention will be open this coming week, and we will post more information about what type of presentations we are going to have at the convention. So please let your friends know, your communities, and we are going to send more information on a separate email as well as through the Traveler next month. Thank you, everyone. And I see Marian, who is also in our team. She has a hand up. And we will be here in the open forum willing to answer any questions. Thank you.
Sorry, Carmen, I think I sent you the wrong slide. I think you've got a landscape version. I just wanted the heading to show because I think it's the theme that Adelina was asking for, because I think it's the importance of the theme is quite significant. And as Adelina says, we've been very blessed with the amazing number of people who've offered to do presentations. And in fact, we've got so many choices that we're in the situation where we're having to have two rooms again. So yeah, if you could possibly find the other slide, the landscape flyer, I'd be grateful for you just to show that because it's the conference theme that we're concerned with. Thank you.
Does that show up okay?
Yes.
Okay. I'll leave it up for just a minute or so.
Thank you.
Web 1030, Mary Beth. Did you have a comment you wanted to make?
I just want, what is the time daily for the ABC? I know it's May 18th and 19th, but when does it start and when does it end?
8 to 5, I believe.
9?
9?
Starts at 9.
Eastern. 9 a.m. Eastern. They're talking about Eastern. 9 a.m. Eastern. Again, it's Saturday, May 17th, Sunday, May 18th, depending on where you are in the world.
The type of on the agenda, but the website says the 17th and 18th.
And it goes from 9 until when?
1 p.m.
No, the ABC goes, okay, I'm going to help a little bit here. The ABC goes from 9 a.m. Eastern. It's opened up earlier to help, so usually around 8:30 a.m. Eastern. It goes typically till about 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern. There's a lot of breaks in it. There's fun breaks in it. And would love to see people coming into the ABC committee to help them. I hope that helps. Thanks.
It does. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, now can I have, are there any, oh, there is a further question. Ken G.
Yeah, I can't, oh, there we are. Yes, I was looking for that concepts document that was posted up a few minutes ago. Where is that located?
It is on the, it is a link on the agenda on the conference webpage.
Got it.
Okay. Under okay. Resources for delegates.
Excellent. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
And CA1331 Zoe H.
Yes, I'm responding to the final thoughts from delegate section. And I think one of the gems we have in our program are the suggested commitments to service. So I wanted to read a couple of them. Number six, accepting the different forms and levels of service and allowing those around me to each function according to their own abilities. And seven, remaining willing to forgive myself and others for not performing perfectly. I'd like to say I really, really appreciate the service given by all of you on the committees, the working groups, and in planning this quarterly delegate meeting. Thank you. You are appreciated.
Thank you very much, Zoe. And now can I have a volunteer to lead us out in the prayer, which I will post on screen. There it is.
And if you don't see, Ronnie has her hand up.
Okay, Ronnie. DL0518, Ronnie.
Yeah.
You should be able to unmute.
Yeah, you've muted yourself, Ronnie.
Now, do you hear me?
Yes,
you're good.
Thank you. God, higher power, grant me the serenity to accept the people I cannot change, the courage to change the one I can, and the wisdom to know that one is me. I seek patience for the changes that take time, and appreciation for all that I have, a tolerance, love, and compassion for those with different struggles, and the strength to get up and try again one day at a time. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks for being here, everybody.
Yeah, thank you. And then after this, if anyone, for those that are interested, it will be an open forum with both the board and some of the committees.
Yes, thank you, Carmen, William, our parliamentarian, our IT, all our helpers in time and safety. Thank you, and our delegates for coming. Thank you so much.